जय ओम शिवपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदोरी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम प्रभु श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास्वादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम राधा गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमाम शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले श्रीमद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीदाङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवलाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदि कवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयम् तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाम् धाम्नासेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् वरम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जिलकैदवोत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृति शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुभमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबत भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय शिशोत्पद्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमा यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमभेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारवेगम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिदिदेर्षदान्तमोऽधम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विचम्बदा मुरारे मधुरीम् न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे दूरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी देशधारिणी श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्याम नमः। वंदे नंदव्रज स्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविंद परमानवे नमः। पीतांबरं करविराजित चक्रशंखं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणा समुद्रं राधा सहायमति सुंदर मंदहासं पातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारगा वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमदिराधियाये नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। So yesterday when we were talking about a general description of how jiva carries on with its material existence, samsara, jiva's samsara gadi, in other words, once a living entity comes to this world, how it continues its journey here. That's what we have spoken yesterday. Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam. Within these three, it goes up and down based on the pious activities or sinful activities. Accordingly, a body is given. And when it gets released from the field of karma, it gets transferred either to the higher planets and continue Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tabolokam, Satyalogam, and eventually goes to the spiritual world. But as long as Krishna is saying, combining Sankhyam and Vedantam, Krishna has spoken briefly about the existence of Jiva in the material world, in the material existence or material world. That is what we discussed yesterday. All those verses which we saw. Afterwards, Krishna says that due to the combination of Prakriti and Purusha, due to that, all creations have happened. And Prakriti means all the upadhis in their jadam stage. Jadam means in the lifeless stage. All the upadhi without the presence of the living force or jadam, that is called prakriti. All upadhis without the presence of the living force, when they exist in their dead form, that is called prakriti. And to that prakriti, when Purusha joins the prakriti, then the creation begins. Purusha means always living force, the Chaitanyam. And Purusha and Prakriti combine together, and Krishna has told us before that in the 16th verse, what we saw yesterday, Anu Brihad Krisham Stulam Yoyo Bhava Prasidhyadi Sarvop Ubhaya Samyutta Prakritya Purushayanacha. Krishna is saying that whether it is small, whether it's big, whether it is very subtle or whether it's very gross, whether it's very thin or whether it's fat, whatever it may be, whatever form it takes, it does not matter. whichever way you are experiencing it, because these are all our perceptions, fat, thin, slim, or small or big, or subtle or gross, all these things, all of them, Krishna is saying, Ubhayasam Yukta. That is, both of them are the combination of these two. Which one? Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti and Purusha. So Krishna is saying, everything in this creation is a combination of these two, Prakriti and Purusha. Then after that Krishna says, whatever the cause, that is what is in the effect as well. Karyam is in the karanam. That's what it is. Yastu yasi adirandascha savai madhyamcha talasya san vigaro vyavahararto yatha taijasa parthiva. So, yastu adi andascha savai madhyamcha talasya san. Krishna will repeat this many, many times. You will see this. Whatever that is there in the beginning and whatever that is at the end is there in the middle also. Nothing else in the middle. What's there in the... It's a very interesting concept, that is. What is there in the beginning and what is there at the end, that's all in the middle also. There is nothing new can come into the middle. If something is there in the beginning and something is there at the end, that alone is there in the middle as well. In the middle as well. So, Krishna is saying here, Prakriti and Purusha, due to their combination, all products have been created, and therefore, all of them is Brahma Surubam. Brahmam is this Prakriti and Purusha. It has turned into Prakriti and Purusha. So, Brahmam is that Chaitanyam, or living force, which we call as Purusha and Prakriti, and even if you see anything here in this creation, both in the form of Prakriti and Purusha is nothing but that same living force in the Brahman. Brahman exists there. For example, Krishna says there, a vastu or object, whatever that was in the beginning, and it gets transformed in many ways and finally comes to another form at the end, and that alone is in the middle as well. You see that? Yastu yasyadi randascha savai madhyamcha tasya san. That's that it is. Yastu yasyadi randascha savai madhyamcha tasya san. Same thing in the Chadushloki Bhagavatam also. The first words. Aham evasam evagre nani adyat sadasat param. Paschad aham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmiham. So that same principle. Krishna is again repeating that here. Because, and if you see that there is something in the middle, something different, and that is only for the sake of Vyavaharam. Krishna says that is due to Vyavaharam. And Krishna gives two examples, Taijasa Parthiva. They say there, Yatha Vyagaram Vyavahararto, Yatha Taijasa Parthiva. Taijasa Parthiva means, Taijasa means gold, and Parthiva means earth, the mud or earth. So, two examples Krishna is saying there, that from gold, you manufacture so many things. Rings, bangles, jewelry, all kinds of jewelry, everything. And then, at the end, the whole thing turns back into gold again. So in the beginning, there was gold. At the end also, there was only gold. And Krishna is saying, in whatever form they have appeared in the middle, it's all gold. Nothing but gold. So gold was there in the beginning, gold was there at the end. Therefore, in the middle also, there is only gold. There is nothing else. This is the logic in the Vedantam. Logic in the Vedantam. For example, Brahman was there in the beginning. Brahman is there at the end. And in the middle, what you see, all this creation and everything, this is also Brahman. This is the point. Yatha Taijasa Parthiva. Another example, Parthiva. For example, with the clay or mud, you are making different kinds of things. Pots, pans, and bottles, or whatever it is, all kinds of cooking utensils. You can make all that with the earth. And once you smash, use them all for a long time, and then you smash them down, ultimately there is only earth. Because there was earth in the beginning, because there is only earth at the end, in the middle also, there is only earth. There is nothing new apart from that. That is the principle. Krishna is stressing that here again and again. So, but due to Vyavaharam, in the middle, it appears as though something else was there. Just like creation, is something in the middle. It appears as though in the middle there is something else. So that is the point Krishna is pointing out here. So everything in this creation is Brahman and nothing else. And before this, whatever that has happened, Krishna says here that Brahmadatvam again alone exists. And creation happened, and finally creation dissolves. And finally what remains is only Brahman. And Jagat, or what we see as the material creation, that exists in the middle, only in the middle. But this creation, what exists in the form of Jagat, is also Brahman, based on the same logic. Yada taijasa parthiva. Two examples, one from the gold, one from the earth. Both of them exist in the middle, either even though they appear different. Similarly, in the middle it appears as though there is a world, there is so many planets, there is so many other things, but actually what exists is only Brahma. What only Brahma exists. So, in that Brahma Chaitanyam, or that Brahman, or Alma, or pure consciousness, it is there, all these names and forms have come. Names and forms have appeared here. Then why do we feel like that? Because Krishna says, due to the reason that there is vyavaharam going on. In vyavaharam, all different forms appear. Once the vyavaharam is over, the forms disappear, the names disappear, and it will remain as it was before. So, so then Krishna is saying there, yadu ubadaya purvastu bhavo vikrute param adirando yada yasya tal satyam abhidiyate. So, yad upadaya purvastu bhavo vikrute param adirando yada yasya tal satyam abhidiyate. Krishna is saying here, whatever form it existed in the beginning, and from whom all these different forms have appeared later on, due to what is called as vigaram. Vigaram means transformation happens. And once that transformation is over, it remains back as it was in its previous state. As he gave the example that the jewelry is there, but before jewelry was made, there was gold. There was gold. And once the jewelry form has changed, then what remains is only gold. So, in there, what is the truth? The truth is gold, not the jewelry. Jewelry is only a change of name and form, is it not? Namarupam. Namarupam we have to always take serious note of, because whole creation is full of namarupam. Namam and rupam, name and form. Name and form. Similarly, in the case of the earth also, we manufactured so many different pots and all other utensils, everything. But later on, it's all smashed up and we have come back into the same earth. So earth was there in the beginning, earth is at the end. In the middle also there is only earth. So, then the question may come that the earth was also manufactured and gold was also manufactured. Is it not? So, is there true that the gold and the mud is, earth is truth? That question will come. If you ask that question, that what they are saying is that in relationship with the jewelry, the truth is gold. In relationship with the pots and pans or the utensils, earth is the truth. In relationship with the jewelry, gold is the truth. In relationship with all the earthen pots or earthen utensils, the earth is the truth. Earth is the truth. But that does not mean the earth is God. The earth is the truth. Earth is not the truth. Gold is not the truth either. In relationship with the middle, the what was there in the beginning and the end has the truth. Similarly here, Krishna is saying here, although the five material elements, the tanmatra, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham, three modes of material nature, ahankaram, false ego, and mahatattvam, all of these things is in the middle again. In the beginning there is only Chaitanyam, the living force. In the end also there is only living force. All other things, material nature, modes of nature, Mahatattvam, and also the five material elements, Tanmatras, they are all in the middle. So when everything disappears, final devastation happens, they also disappear. So the only truth here is Chaitanyam or the living force, or the living force. Why this is important is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when on the seventh day, when Shukha Brahma Rishi was talking to Parikshit about devastation, that Parikshit had to properly experience that, what is devastation means. Yesterday we spoke about that, is it not? Four kinds of creation and four kinds of devastation. Nityam, Naimitiyam, Prakritam, Atyandiyam. Out of that, the Atyandiyam is the final devastation or dissolution, it is called. Now, at that point, if Parikshit has not experienced that devastation, he will come back to the awareness of the world. And Shukha Brahma Rishi did not want that to happen. Finally, when Parikshit was leaving this body, he did not want him, Shukha Brahma Rishi did not want Parikshit to come back to be awareness of this world. And if final devastation has not happened, then he will come back to this world again and become aware of the existence of the world. That is why he was saying there that in that case liberation won't happen to Parikshit. So final devastation, that means Dvaitam will come. Once you experience the world, it means duality, Dvaitam will come back at that point. So in the Brahmam, when Brahmam realization happened, in that Brahmam, once this illusion comes, that is where we get affected and we feel the experience of the world. Brahmi, it is called Brahmi or Brahmam. Remember, Krishna mentions that in the previous chapter, that in the 22nd chapter, he mentioned that Vaigalpigam Brahmam, he said that. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpigam brahmam. Says, Alma agrahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpigam brahmam. Brahmam is that. Brahma means that if you lose this identity of the self, awareness of who you are as spirit, spiritual identity, if you lose that, then the world will come. Then the world will come into your awareness. If you lose your identity as a spirit soul, Brahmasmi stage, Brahmam realization, once you lose that, the world will come to you. The world will come in your awareness. World will come into your awareness. That is what Krishna is saying here. That Parikshit also, in the Brahmam, and that is called Brahmi or Brahmam. Brahmi or Brahmam, it is the same. Alma agrahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpigam Brahmam, Krishna says. Is it not? Tudhava. Alma agrahanam nirbhadam. Once you have lost that grahanam of Alma, once you have lost it, pasya vaigalpigam Brahmam. Brahmam of this vigalpam. Vigalpam will come. This is all vigalpam. Creation is a vigalpam in us. That's vigalpam. Vigalpam means it creates, it puts in front of us so many things. And you get confused. What is what? And everything confusion. So, Alma agrahana nirbhadam paśya vaigalpigam brahmam. This will happen. So, therefore, just like they give the example that in the rope you see the snake. Similarly, in Brahmam, because of the Brahmi, we are experiencing this world. We are experiencing this world. And that is what Krishna is using, that word Brahmam. The word Brahmam. Alma agrahanam nirbhadam paśya vaigalpigam brahmam. Krishna says. So, as I mentioned yesterday, that from the Srimad Bhagavatam point of view, in the second canto, in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, in the four verses, there is no discussion about the creation at all. There is no discussion about the creation there. And then later on, when Lord Brahma instructing Narada Maharshi, at that time there is that creation which is called Prakrita Ulpatti, what is called. And then Narada Maharshi talked to Vedavyas, and Vedavyas talked to Shukha Brahma Rishi. There Naimitya Ulpatti is spoken. Four kinds of creation we discussed yesterday. Nityam, Naimitikam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. Nityam is what we are experiencing on every day, what we talked about. Naimitikam and Prakritam, out of that, Narada Maharshi, Brahma instructs Narada Maharshi about the Prakritam one. And Narada Maharshi instructs Vedavyas, and Vedavyas instructs Sukabrahma Maharshi about the Naimitikam one. But finally, when Sukabrahma Maharshi talks to Parikshit about final devastation, it is the Atyantikam one. Atyantikam. Because Atyantikam means ultimate. Ultimate dissolution is the proper dissolution. Proper dissolution, which is based on knowledge. Which is based on knowledge. That means, when knowledge comes in a person, self-realization happens, Brahman realization happens, he realizes that world doesn't exist. World doesn't exist. Alma agrahanam nirbhadam pasya vaigalpikam brahmam. From that word, Krishna's word from the last chapter, this explanation has come. This explanation has come. So here, Krishna is saying that all the truth is only Brahman. Brahma means only the Chaitanyam or the living force. And when all transformation goes away, what are the transformation? Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Tanmatra, modes of nature, all of them are transformations from the Brahman. They all come from Brahman, have they not? Brahman changes in different forms, and that's what they are. Which one? All of these. Mahatattvam, Sutra Alpava, similarly, three modes of material nature, Tanmatras, and Panchabhutam, they are all the transformations of Brahman. And when all of them have gone away, when they have gone away, what remains is only Brahman. That means before Brahman has started this transformation, Vikaram in other words. And that alone is the truth. And if you look at it that way, only Brahman is Satyam. Everything else is false. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya. Jagat Mithya. So, Mithya Brahman it is called, due to false Brahman or illusion, this is happening to us. That is what that verse is saying. Then Krishna says, Prakritikya Subodhanam Adhara Purusha Paraha Sado Abhivyanjaya Kalo Brahmata Tritayam Tvaham. Prakritikya Subodhanam Adhara Purusha Paraha Sado Abhivyanjaya Kalo Brahmata Tritayam Tvaham. Upadana Karanam. That is what that is. Krishna says there, Prakritikya Sya Upadanam Adharam Purushapara. Upadana Karanam. Upadana Karanam means, suppose you manufacture something, any product, whatever you have used to manufacture that material, that's called Upadanam. Upadana Karanam. And Upadanam, for example, if you are manufacturing some jewelry, the Upadana Karanam is gold. Gold is the Upadana Karanam. Similarly, for the ponds and other things, Upadana Karanam is the earth. So, if you look at that way, every product in this world, when you look at it, the Upadana Karanam is, if you look at that, Upadana Karanam comes from the Prakriti, comes from the Prakriti. And what is the basis on which Prakriti is maintained? Prakriti, it depends on Purusha. Whose Prakriti is that? Purusha's Prakriti, isn't it? And so how did this transformation happen from Prakriti, Purusha to Prakriti? Prakriti and Purusha, although they are separate and separately existing, and due to the Vikaram, Vikaram means these changes that's happening in the Brahman due to the presence of time, Kala Shakti. So Prakriti and Purusha and Kalam, all these three things together has resulted in the different products in the Jagat. Whatever we are seeing here in this creation is a product that has been created due to these three. One is time, second one is Prakriti, and the third one is Purusha. Purusha and Prakriti joined together, and under the influence of time, it turns into a particular form, whichever way it takes. So,
All these three things, are they real? If you ask the question, no, they are also not real. Because they are also due to the vikaram in the Brahman. Brahman is the source. Brahman is the source. Krishna says that, is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, in so many places, you will see. Brahman, Krishna repeats that, Brahman. Brahman is the source, and then Brahman, when there is a vikaram, change happens or movement happens in the vikaram, then Purusha comes, Prakriti comes, and the time comes, Kalam comes. So, Prakriti, Purusham, Kalam, from all of them, the underlying principle is Brahman. Underlying principle is Brahman. And that Brahman alone is what you are seeing in the form of creation in another form, is Brahma Tattvam, and no other Tattvam has come otherwise. So Brahman alone is present in a friend of us in the form of Jagat or in the creation. So they give the example that in the ocean there is so many things. The waves are there. They come and go. And when you look at the waves, you think as though they are separate from the ocean. But in reality, they are not separate. Similarly, in the ocean, there is only water. In the ocean, there is only water. But so many things are coming from there. Waves are coming, and bubbles are coming, and foam is coming. So many things come. They are not separate from the water. They are all the same water in another form. That is all. Similarly, all these different things, like Purusha, and similarly Prakriti, time, Mahatattvam, all are of Vigaram in the Brahman. Vigaram in the Brahman. Vigaram means that changing, changes, that's happening in the Brahman. So all changes that's happening in the Brahman is what we are seeing here, and we experience that in that way. Sarga pravartade etaval parvo mariyana nityasha Mahan guna visargartha stityando yavad yukshanam. Sarga pravartade taval paurva bariyana nityasha Mahan guna visargartha stityando yavad yukshanam. So, creation, therefore, creation is continuously happening. And who is responsible? If you ask the question, is it Krishna? For example, a man has born, a child is born. Who is the creator behind that? The father and the mother. If the creation has come through them. Similarly, if a tree has grown up and tree has got fruits, and where is the source of the tree? Its own seed, where it's come from. If you look at it that way, Prakriti, Ahankaram, otherwise Prakriti and Purusha, without all these are things, there is no other reason behind it. And their transformation is what other products that comes from there. So when they combine together and when they get separated, that is called vyavaharam. Due to the influence of time, these things happen. Under the influence of time, different things comes together and different things get separated. Except that there's nothing else happening in the creation. And who controls all these three things? Which one? Prakriti, Purusha and Kalam, Brahman. Brahman is the controller. So, when nothing is existing, at that time, Ishvara has glanced over. What we talk about, the glancing over the material nature. So if you want to glance, normally you need senses, isn't it? Only if you have the eye, you can glance over. If you don't have the eyes, how can you glance? So, that means, Ishvara must have the senses. Ishvara must have the senses. So if the senses are not there, that means drika. Drika means the eye. If the eyes are not there, this activity called glancing cannot happen. So therefore, when we say that, although we say like this, that he has to glance over, it is only a prakriya. Prakriya means not that a action has happened like that. Do you know what it means? That it's not something that we say. When we say glanced over, when we have to have eyes and we glance over somebody or glance over someone else, that's glancing, isn't it? That's the way it's translated. But as far as Brahman is concerned, it's not that it has to have eyes to glance over. It's a prakriya. Prakriya means the action happens without the presence of the senses. It can happen without the presence of the senses. Because ichanam, when you say the word ichanam is the word translated as glancing over. When you say ichanam, means it becomes very gross. It will appear as though it is very gross. But here, it is not like that. A change in the Brahman, a very, very slight change in the Brahman, and that slight change is called glancing over. Do you understand? Normally, see, when you say Mahavishnu glanced over the and creation happened, we say like that, is it not? In the Bhagavatam. So glancing over means, that means he must have the eyes to glance over. And you start thinking that becomes a sthulam, gross thing. He doesn't have to glance. Just by wanting that to happen inside, it will happen outside. That's called glancing. Not glancing with the eye. It's not a prakriya with the senses. Normally when you use that word, glancing over, ichanam, that's the word in the Shastram. Ichanam means that you have to glance over the prakriti and creation happens. But here, it does not happen that way. So, this bhava vishesham means, in Brahman, there is a slight movement happens. A movement happens there, and the result of that, continuously creation goes on. Some movement happened in the Brahman, the result is that creation goes on eternally. As I mentioned, we discussed yesterday, creation four kinds. Nityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyantiyam. That Nityam, daily creation is going on. Constantly creation is going on here. And devastation also is going on constantly. Isn't it? If you think about it, you can see constantly things are changing here. That means creation is happening. Creation is constantly happening. And constantly, things are disappearing also. Dissolution is also happening here. So that is why Krishna is mentioning here. And and you can't stop that. You can't stop this world changing. It will continuously happen in this way. So, and in this creation process, which is constantly going on, every part of us is in there. Like our body, for example, is constantly changing. Which means what? Creation is going on. And constantly, this body is getting destroyed. Is it not? New cells are formed, old cells are destroyed. That means constantly creation is going on, constantly destruction is also going on. Dissolution is also going on. Even in this body, in the Veshti level. In the Samashti level also, if you look, constantly the creation is changing. Everything in the creation is changing. Is it not? Otherwise, if you look at a building will last for 100 years, 200 years, for 500 years. After that, it starts crumbling. The materials in the building all starts changing. Everything's changed. Wood keeps rotting and earth starts losing its property, strength, bondage, power. Everything goes away. Tiles breaks up. All things, similarly, rivers are flowing constantly. Therefore, the water, what you are seeing now, is not there the next moment. That's gone. Although you are saying, the river is flowing. But the water, what you have seen at this moment, very next moment, it's gone to the ocean. And in the next moment, sometime later, that same water is not there in the ocean. The sun has transformed that taken into the sky and made into the form of clouds. So, and then the clouds changes and comes in the form of rain and back into the rivers and the tanks and the lakes. So, everywhere you look, this constant change is continuously happening. Whether it is in the water, whether it is in the earth, and all levels, in all elements, the change is happening. All living entities, change is happening. Material objects, the change is happening. So, so, because it is like that, after acknowledging that, we have to see that we are only a very, very minute element in this whole change, continuously what is happening here. And what can we do here? We can't do anything in this situation. So when you consider that for your own birth in this world is not in your control, isn't it? Our own birth, we didn't make a decision, oh, I'm going to take birth here in such and such a place and such and such a parents and all family or anything like that. It all happened one day, we popped out in this world. We were thrown into this world, we came here. After coming here, we are establishing our authority here. We are this, we are that. Prior to that, what did we know about ourselves? Where were we? Where were we? So, even there, we are not responsible ourselves. We can't do anything about it. And therefore, knowing that, we have to know that ikshana prakriya, what is called as that glancing thing, Ishwara's glancing, or Brahmam, or the glancing, what has happened in the Brahmam, as long as that is present in this world, it is because of that glancing that has happened, what we call it as glancing, or the material nature, basically, or in other words, in principle, that the change in the, or the movement in the Brahmam, in the Brahmam state, some movement happened, and therefore, all these things are going on continuously. We were born, and we are going on. We are losing our material body. We are accepting another body, coming here. Constantly body is changing. So, that thing called change, we can't stop. And even when you cannot even have any control over your own birth, what to talk about all other changes, what is happening in this creation. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, see that, sarga pravartate taval paurva pariyena nityasha mahan guna visarga artha stityando yavadi ikshanam. Ikshanam is the word. Ikshanam. Ikshanam means that, ikshanam means it's a sangalpam in Brahmam. Sangalpam in Brahmam. In Brahmam, there is a sangalpam happens. From there creation began. Sangalpam was this, creation should happen. In that creation process, we all happen to exist in this way where we are now. And constantly that creation is going on, that's why our body is changing. Constantly that creation is going on, therefore everything in the creation is changing. Outside world is changing. So, because of that only, Krishna is saying, Paurva Bariyana Nityasha. You see that word? Parva Bariyana Nityasha. That means, from the father, the son comes. And from the son, he becomes a father later, another son comes from him. In this way, father, son, in that way it goes on. Or spiritual master and the disciple, in that way it goes on. Or master and the servant, in that way it goes on. All this is our different bhavam. Different bhavam inside this creation. Inside this creation. Niranmaya sadhyamano loka kalpa vikalpagaha panjatvaya visheshaya kalpade bhuvanei saha. Viranmaya sadhyamano loka kalpa vikalpagaha panjatvaya visheshaya kalpade bhuvanei saha. That every time Krishna is explaining now what we saw yesterday, that one after the other creation goes on like this, and one day dissolution begins in the opposite direction. For example, where did the body come from? Body came from food, is it not? Annam is what annam is the one what has sustained this gross body. So, one after the other, things gets dissolved and disappears from here. So, body has come from annam. Annam is also, body is called, that's why we call it as annamaya kosham. Gross body is called annamaya kosham. And how did that happen? Because of the food that's been consumed by the parents, father and the mother. And because of the food that has been consumed by the father and the mother, the child has its body sustained. Later on, he takes his own food and then the body survives. Body survives. So, once the annam stops, then the body cannot exist. Body needs annam or food. Food is required. If you stop the food, then the body will disappear. That is the nature of the body. So that Krishna uses the word there that Viranmaya Sadhyamano Loka Kalpa Vigalpagaha Panchatvaya Visheshaya Kalpade Bhuvane Saha.
Panchabhudam. The Panchabhudam five material elements, that is this body. Material elements is this body. So eventually when the body is ready to go, that at that time Krishna is saying, Anne Praliyade. Look at that verse, 22nd. Anne Praliyade Martyam Annam Dhana Suliyade Dana Bhumo Praliyande Bhumir Gandhe Praliyade Anne Praliyade Martyam Annam Dhana Suliyade Dano Dana Bhumo Praliyande Bhumir Gandhe Praliyade. The process of dissolution, how it happens. First the body gets dissolved in the annam. It becomes annam. Annam gets destroyed. And when there is no annam or food to eat, all body starts getting destroyed. And whether it is, this annam is different for human body and it is different for the demigods. Their food is different than our food. So, the annam is different for different. And when the annam is not there, body will not exist forever. Body will go one day. Body cannot exist. Body cannot survive without food. Krishna says earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, Annad Bhavandi Bhudani Parjanyad Anna Sambhava. Anna Sambhava. So, Annad Bhavandi Bhudani. So, because of annam, body, this change in the body will happen. Otherwise, it cannot happen. So, all Bhudam, living entities, comes from annam. And that annam is dependent on Parjanyam. Parjanyam is rain, the demigod in relationship with the rain. So, Parjanyam favors us when there is Yajnam. Yajnat Bhavadi Parjanyam, Bhagavad Gita says. Annad Bhavandi Bhudani Parjanyan Anna Sambhava. Yajnat Bhavadi Parjanyam Yajna Karma Samulbhava. There's a verse in the, third chapter, I think. Yeah. Annad Bhavandi Bhudani Parjanyan Anna Sambhava. Yajnat Bhavadi Parjanyam Yajna Karma Samulbhava. While talking about the necessity to perform Yajnam, Krishna mentions there. From Yajnam comes Parjanyam, Parjanyam comes Annam, from Annam comes the body. So body to survive, Annam is required. Body to survive, Annam is required. And that Yajnam is dependent on karma, karma sarupam. Yajnam, one has to perform Yajnam, which is karma sarupam, Yajna karma samulbhava, Krishna says. Annad bhavandi bhudani. Bhutam exists on annam. Parjanyad anna sambhava. Annam comes from parjanyam. Yajnyad bhavadi parjanyam. Parjanyam comes from yajnyam. And yajnya karma samilhava. Yajnyam comes from karma. So karma, yajnyam, parjanyam, annam, bhutam. This is the sequence. Our existence. First thing is karma. From karma comes yajnyam. Yajnyam comes parjanyam. Parjanyam comes annam. From annam sustains us. Krishna has spoken that very clearly in that chapter, Karma Yoga, I think, in that chapter. Whatever that is, yeah. Yeah. So, without that, it cannot exist. So, that body, if it has to exist, and if the body has to go and dissolves, when it goes in the reverse direction, body will go back and dissolve in the annam. For example, if a person did not get food for some time, after a while, the body will disappear. The body cannot survive anymore after some time. Is it not? I don't know, here somebody, some people don't seem to need any food. They remain for eternally. So, what Krishna is saying like this, I don't know more than that. All Krishna is saying there, if there is no food, body won't last very long. One day it will go. In the olden days, in Himalayas, many, many great tapasvis, what they used to do, when they had enough of the life in this world, that they decided one day, I don't want a body anymore. I don't want a body anymore. And when they had it enough, they won't eat any food. They will sit there without eating anything. And after 2 or 3 days, they can't get up. No strength to get up. At that time, what they will do? They won't sit down anymore, they will lie down. They will lie down. And after a few days, they will die. After a few days, they will die. Now, if you ask the question, is that sinful? That question will come, isn't it? If you do like that, is it sinful? No, it's not sinful. The reason is, they have known what is to be known. After that, if the body goes, it's not sinful. But before you know what is to be known, and if the body goes, give up the body, that is sinful. That is the criteria. Suppose you have realized the truth, then if the body goes, it's not considered to be sinful. Because you have known what is to be known. So those of us who are doing that, at least till that we realize that, not to stop eating. So, it's not sinful. Krishna is saying here that if only question is, what they are doing there is annamayam, shariram is annamayam. They are dissolving the body in the annam. Dissolving the body in the annam. So if you stop taking annam, it will stop, then sometime you will sit down and one day you will lie down and then the body will go. And then the body will go. So, see, for example, for some time there is no rain, and in that case, there is no food to eat anymore. And if there is no food to eat, then body will dissolve in the same way. In the same way. And that is what Krishna is saying. Anne praliyade martyam annam dhanasu liyate. Dhana bhumo praliyande. Bhumir gandhe praliyate. Bhumir gandhe praliyade. So similarly, body will go and dissolve and become annam itself. Annam itself. It's annam form. Dhanasu. Dhanasu means its seed. Its seed. The grains will become, or all the plants or vegetables or grains, whatever they will, if they get destroyed, they will remain in the form of the seed. And all those seeds will get dissolved in the earth. Because everything has come from the earth. And earth, where will it go? It will go and dissolve in the smell. Remember that cycle, one after the other? Because from smell came the earth. Earth came from the smell, isn't it? Smell goes and dissolves in the water. Dissolves in the water. Krishna says that in the next verses. Apsu praliyade gandham abhascha sugune rase liyade jyotishi raso jyoti rube praliyade rupam vayau sajasparshe liyade so abhichambare ambaram shabda tanmatre indriyani svayonishu. See 23 and 24. Apsu praliyade gandham abhascha sugune rase liyade jyotishi raso jyoti rube praliyade rupam vayau sajasparshe liyade so abhija ambare ambaram shabda tanmatre indriyani svayonishu. So here, then, apsu praliyade gandham. Gandham goes and dissolves in the water. Gandham means smell. Goes and dissolves in the water. Water goes and dissolves in the taste. Rasam. Rasam. And rasam goes and dissolves in the fire. Tejas. And jyoti rube praliyade. Tejas or fire goes and dissolves in the form. That is the series, isn't it? And then, rupam vayav sajasparshe. That form goes and dissolves in the air. Air goes and dissolves in the touch. Touch goes and dissolves in the sky. Sky goes and dissolves in the sound. In the sound. Ambaram shabda tanmatre. Indriyani sayonishu cha liyandi. So, and then after that, indriyas, akasham, or sky, or shabda tanmatra. Space goes and dissolves in the sound. And senses goes and dissolves in the predominating deities. So here you can see one thing, that since all the other things right up to the sound, that has come from
Tamasahangaram, isn't it? Satyahangaram, the mind has come. Rajasahangaram came the senses. Tamasahangaram came the Shabda Tanmatra. Shabdasparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham and the five material elements. So material elements and their tanmatras, they all got dissolved one within the other, and finally it goes and dissolved in the Tamasahangaram. Similarly, in Rajasahangaram, Krishna is saying there, in Rajasahangaram, what will happen? Rajasahangaram, that all the senses, they will go and they will get dissolved in their deities, predominating deities. There is a list in the Bhagavadam who are the predominant. Yesterday we discussed about this. Brahma is the predominating deity of the mind. Sun is the predominating deity of the eye. So they all, those senses, they will go and dissolve in each of those devatas, predominating deities. They will go and dissolve there. So similarly, and then finally, they will go into dissolving the Rajasahangaram, because that's where they have come from. Similarly, mind has come from Satyahangaram. Mind has come from Satyahangaram. Yonir Vaigarige Saumya Liyade Manas Ishware Shabdo Bhudani Mapyedi Bhudadir Mahadi Prabhu. 25th verse. That Devaras, they are Satyavigaram and they dissolve in the mind. And mind, because of the mind goes and dissolves. Shabdam, sound goes and dissolves in the Tamasahangaram. And Ahangaram goes and dissolves in the Mahatattvam. Mind goes and dissolves in the Satya Ahangaram. Then we have got Satya Rajasa Tamasam, all combined together is Ahangaram. Then Ahangaram goes and dissolves in Mahatattvam. What it means is, Ahangaram, which is in the Jata form, it becomes in pure knowledge form, Jnana Kriya Yogam. That means it becomes Sutratma and Mahatattvam. That's from where Ahangaram has come, isn't it? From Mahatattvam Ahangaram has come. So when Ahangaram goes and dissolves in Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam and Sutratma comes at that time, and that is called Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti, from where everything has begun before. Sa liyade mahan sveshu guneshu gunavattama te avyakte sampraliyande tat kale liyade avyaye. So Mahatattvam goes and dissolves. And those three modes of material nature, that comes to Samyavastha. Samyavastha means that the modes of material nature, Satyagam, Rajasam, Tamasam, when they are unbalanced, it's called Vishamavastha. When they are balanced, it's called Samyavastha. But Samyavastha means there is no vigaram, there is no movement in the Brahma. So here Krishna is saying like that, and he says that Mahatattvam, because Mahatattvam comes from Maya. It came from Maya. And Maya accepts this Mahatattvam and it goes and dissolves everything in the Brahma. It goes and dissolves in the Brahma. And finally, only Brahma remains. This is Sankhya says. Only Brahma remains. So from Brahma, you have seen how creation happened. Now, the reverse way, the dissolution happens. Initially you have noticed, from Purusha and Prakriti came, Prakriti is Maya, then Mahatuttam Sutralpa came, Ahangaram came, Satya Rajas Ahangaram came, mind, senses, and then the Tanmatras came, material elements came. Like this, creation came. They all in the reverse process, they all went back. And finally, they go back to Ahangaram, Ahangaram to Mahatuttam, and Mahatattvam finally goes and dissolves in the Avyaktam. Avyaktam is Brahmam. And there it is formless. Nirgunam, Nirguna Rupam. And Chaitanyam remains. Kalom Ayamaye Jive, Jiva Almani Mayaje, Alma Kevalam Almasto, Vigal Pavaya Lakshanam. Vigal Pavaya Lakshanam. Kalo Mayamaye Jive, Jiva Almani Mayaje, Alma Kevalam Almasto, Vigal Pavaya Lakshanam. Krishna says, There, Kala Shakti, that Pranan, and when that dissolution happens, Jiva, who was there up to that time, that when when this all goes and dissolves in the samashti form, it goes and dissolves in the Brahman. In the Veshti form, it goes and dissolves pranan, and which is nothing but kalam, which is another form of pranan, and then that living force goes and dissolves in the Chaitanyam, in the living force, which is called the jiva, and jiva also goes and dissolves in the Brahman. So jivatvam, you see, when do you call someone as a jiva? When there is sankalpa vikalpam, he is called a jiva. When in somebody there is sankalpam and vikalpam, when the sankalpam vikalpam has gone, the mind is gone, then he is not anymore a jiva. It's not a jiva anymore. And he goes and dissolves with the Brahman. And he dissolves in the Atma. Atma and Brahman is one and the same thing. So when you lose that mind, then you are called Atma. You are not called a jiva anymore. And once you are in that state, you will go and dissolve in the Brahman. And that is the end of that. So so in this way, continuously, creation is going on and dissolution is also going on. From Brahman, Maya, from Maya, Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam to Ahangaram, Ahangaram to three modes of material nature, and from the three modes of material nature, Satya Ahangaram, Rajas Ahangaram, Tamas Ahangaram, and then from Satya Ahangaram, Andhakaranam, Indriya Devadas, Rajas Ahangaram, all the senses, Tamas Ahangaram, Shabdam, or the sound, and all the Tanmatras, and correspondingly, all the other Tanmatras, and the five material elements. So this is that chapter. That's all in that chapter. Sankhyam finishes there in that chapter. Krishna is saying there at that time that when all the dissolution happened, and he says, Atma kevalam alpasto. Once you have come to the platform of Atma, vigalpa upaya lakshanaha. There is no more vigalpam after that. Because there is no mind, there is no jiva to have vikalpam. Everything is finished at that point. And Krishna says, I am Atma Kevala Atmastam. I am situated in my pure identity as Atma, and I have no upadhi. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses. None of them exist. I am situated in my own identity, Krishna is saying. So why did we discuss this? That's the next two verses. Why all this was discussed? Evam anvikshamanasya katham vaikalpiko brahmaha manaso kriti tishteda vomni varkodaye tama vomni arkadaye tama. Krishna says that arkodaye vomni tava tama iva evam anvikshamanasya pumsaha manasaha vaikalpikaha bhumaha katham bhaven hriti katham tishteda. Just like when the sun rises in the morning, how the darkness goes away. Similarly, one who thinks about this in depth, analyzes this, he will come out of the Veda Buddhi. Veda Brahmam, it is called. Veda Brahmam will go. And Veda Brahmam means, we know what that means. Veda Brahmam means that to see everything is different. So this process, what Krishna has spoken in the Sankhya, is in this chapter, is that process by properly assimilating this, discussing it, analyzing it, and performing the dharana of this. Krishna says, you can come out of the Veda Buddhi of the mind. Because mind will, you are constantly thinking the way creation has happened and the dissolution happens. First thing to understand, what Sankhya is saying is that there is nothing permanent here. Everything is constantly changing. Body is changing, world is changing, our own existence is subjected to changes. All the time is changing, isn't it? So that changing process Krishna has spoken, how it is happening. And this is anviksha manasya katham vaigalpiyo brahmam. And if you have become fully conscious of these changing world, or changing body, or changing nature, anyusha manasa katham vaigalpiyo brahman, vigalpam will go away. Because when you know that everything is changing, what will you think as permanent here? Nothing. Nothing is permanent here. Manaso hriti tishteda vyomni arka udaye tama. Like in the morning when the sun comes, how the darkness disappears. In the similar way, manaso hrdi tishteda, mind will not be there anymore. Because why? All the vigalpam has gone. Once the vigalpam has gone, there is no more mind. Vigalpam means thought waves. Thought waves will stop once you have assimilated this properly, this chapter. Thought waves will stop. Krishna is saying if the thought waves stops, then the mind will go and dissolves in the heart. Manaso hridi tishteda. Mind will go and stay in the heart. And vyomni arkadiyetama. Arkadiyetama. Less like in the morning when the sun rises, darkness disappears. In the same way, the illusion what we have inside, this Vedabhruddhi, which is called Vedabhramam, that will go away. Saying that, Esha Sankhyavili Prota, Samshaya Grandhi Vedana, Pradilomam, Anilomabhyam, Paravara Dushamaya. Esha Sankhyavili Prota, Samshaya Grandhi Vedana, Pradilomam, Anilomabhyam, Paravara Dushamaya. So, Krishna says, this process of Sankhyam, I have instructed this, which completely breaks away all doubts about the creation. I have spoken in the way of creation and dissolution. In that way I have presented. Krishna says that and leave that chapter there. So basically what it is, as we mentioned before, control of the mind is the goal. Is it not? Control of the mind is the goal. So first time Krishna said, to use the Bichugida for that purpose, through Bichugida process. That means through Vairagyam and proper self-inquiry. And there, what did Bichu say finally? Bichu said that this mind is the cause of all the problem, and he managed to not to listen to the mind anymore. Completely rejected the mind. And that way he escaped. Vairagyam, and finally he escaped in that way. Here in Sankhyam, the same thing is done in a different way. My mind creates all the vikalpam. Like Bhikshu said, Sankhyam also says the same thing. Sankhyam is also saying that the mind is the problem. What is the problem? There he said, Nayam janome sugadukha hedu, na devadalma grihakarma kalam, manapara karanam amanandi. He said that. Here Krishna is also saying that manam manaso hridishteda. Mind will disappear, Veda Brahman will go. That means once the Vigalpam stops, Veda Brahman won't be there, then the mind cannot function anymore. So Sankhyam is the next process Krishna has spoken for control of the mind. Krishna has spoken various things like this, and is left to us, whoever wants to take whichever process they want to take. That's up to the individual. There is no either by one using one or by using all of them, or by using one or two of them, whichever way one wants to do it, that's up to the individual who has to do that. That's not in our hands. That's not Krishna is going to not do anything about it. That's left to us what we have to do. So, then, next process is the, what is the next one? The three modes of material nature. Bichugida through Vairagyam and knowledge of the self, how you can finish the mind. Here, last chapter, through Sankhyam, how you can escape from the mind. Now, through the three modes of material nature, how one can come out of the mind. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, when we discussed that, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, we talked about that, is it not? I think it was the 14th chapter. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, we spoke about that. A sort of, that same chapter is spoken again here, in a little different way. And these three modes of nature,
is two different nature kinds. Again, three modes of nature in two different ways. Everything in this creation is modes of nature. First thing, that you have to always remember. Everything, there is nothing Krishna has spoken before. There is nothing in the creation which is outside the modes of nature. And suppose you want to know about a particular thing. In order to know that, for example, it has got a form. For example, if you look at the mic, it is like this, in a longer form. And form defines a certain things of the product. Then the color of the object, that defines something about the product. So, all of this, color, form, all of this is based on the gunam. Depends on the gunam. Color, taste, and its capabilities, vastu viryam prabhavam. Prabhava means its capacity to do certain things. All of these things is due to the presence of the gunam there and the combination of the gunam. That means here sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. When these three gunams join together, it is from that any product or any object or any person in this world, he gets the capacity to do certain things. To do certain things. Due to the presence of the modes of nature. Not only individual level, even on the dead matter level. There also gunam is mixed in this. Presence of the gunam. So, for example, generally when we say sattva-gunam is knowledge and enlightenment, nature of the sattva-gunam. Rajo-gunam is work, pravarti and abhimanam. That means action, karmam and abhimanam, feeling proud about that. Rajo-gunam. And ajnanam and alasyam, ignorance and laziness, both are qualities of the tamogunam. Qualities of the tamogunam. So, when the three modes are present in a person, depending on to what level, degree they have, these things will influence the person's karmam here. Sattugunam, as mentioned before, knowledge, always seeking for knowledge, and always in a shanti or enlightened state. That is sattugunam. Rajogunam means always busy with action and always taking the pride in doing things. Abhimanam, in other words. I've done this, I've done that. I have to do this, I have to do that. It's me who has done that. This way. That's rajogunam, symptom of the rajogunam. Tamogunam means he can't do anything, always lazy, and also he is ignorant. There is no knowledge in him. So you can see three different, very distinct things. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. All three are very distinct, isn't it? They're completely distinct features. Similarly, when we talk about even color, even while referring to color, it is got Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. So normally they'll say white is Sattugunam, color. Red is Rajogunam. And black is tamogunam. Black is tamogunam. So tamogunam, rajogunam, even on the level of color of a thing, of any object, it is spoken in that way. So, and it is from these three colors, white, black and red, all other colors have come because of their mixture. Because of their mixture. So, and these variations of mixture of these modes in this way, there are two ways. One is called mishram and the other one is called anamishram. Anamishram means, you will see in the first verse itself, Krishna saying that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Gunanam Asamishranam Puman Yena Yatha Bhavet Tanme Purusha Vaidyedam Ubhadharayasham Sada.
gunanam asamishranam puman yena yatha bhave tanme purushavayedam upadharesham sada. So one way is mishram, other one is asamishram. One is mishram, other one is asamishram. Mishram means that which mixes together. For example, sattugunam mixed with tamogunam, rajogunam mixed with tamogunam, or sattugunam mixed with rajogunam, in this way. They are always, they staying together like this, in the mixed form. So if sattugunam, pure sattugunam, gets mixed with, say, rajogunam, then that is called malina sattvam, impure sattvam it's called. Malina sattvam, impure sattvam. Suppose sattugunam did not mix with anything, it remains in the pure sattvam, then it is called shuddha sattvam, pure sattvam, pure sattvam. Where sattugunam has not mixed up with anything else, it is called shuddha sattvam. When sattugunam mixes with, say, rajogunam or tamogunam, little bit if it's mixed with that, it's called malina sattvam, impure sattvam it is called. So, suppose in a man or anybody, if there is only shuddha sattvam, suppose a person has pure sattvam in him, then that person must be a realized soul. That's the conclusion. If a person has only sattugunam in him, then he has to be realized of the self. He has to be realized of the self. So, normally in our people, there is sattugunam, but it is malina sattvam. It's impure sattvam it is. Because there is rajogunam or tamogunam, that is why the knowledge is not working. Knowledge is not working. So, the idea is to make that pure sattvam as possible. Vishnu is keeping sattugunam as his upadhi. Like we have, why Vishnu is considered to be in sattugunam, always in sattugunam. Similarly, Lord Brahma is always in rajogunam, is his upadhi. And Lord Shiva has tamogunam as his upadhi. What does that mean? It means that the chaitanyam or alma or the living force that reflects in the sattugunam, pure sattugunam, that is called Vishnu. So Vishnu means that living force or alma who is present as awareness everywhere, consciousness, when that is reflecting in the and the pure sattugunam, when that chaitanyam, living force, reflects in pure sattugunam, He is called Vishnu. Sattvam yattal parabhyam aparigalanado nurmalam tena taval bhuder bhudendriyastai vavurudi bahushashruyate vyasavakyam. Sattvam yattal parabhyam, Krishna's form is, Vishnu's form is sattvam. Because in sattvagunam that form is reflected. That is why Vishnu considered to be the controller of the sattugunam. Similarly, and therefore it is like crystal glass, because sattugunam, isn't it? Like crystal glass. And which means that what is inside you can see from outside. So crystal clear, crystal clear. So, so when you look at that, when you look at that sattugunam in the form of Vishnu, whatever, if you look at that form from outside, everything what is inside you will be able to know. That is why he mentions there, tasmin dhanya ramande shruti mati madure sugrahe vigrahete talsach swachatval yadichadida sugajil garbha nirbhasa rupam tasmin dhanya ramande shruti mati vigdure sugrahe vigrahete. The reason is, the very nature of sattvagunam is swachatvam. Swachatvam. Swachatvam means tal swachatval. Swachatvam means that crystal nature. crystal nature. Clear, everything is clear. The what is inside, you can see from outside. So that everything is open, in other words. That is the nature of Satvaguna. Nature of Satvaguna means purity inside. Purity inside. And therefore there is a crystal nature. Like a crystal, it's clear. Everything is clear inside. And therefore Svachhatvam. Svachhatvam means that if you stay in that Satvaguna, and if you see things, you have to understand this properly. Svachhatva means, suppose you are in Satvaguna, and if you look at things, you will see things properly. What it means is, you will see Atma is real. That's Satvaguna. Svachhatva tadichadida sugajil garbha nirbhasa rupam. That because when you are in the Satvaguna, you will see things clearly. What is the truth? That is the benefit of Satvaguna. That is the nature of Satvaguna. That is what Krishna is saying here. That very pure Satva means, that is why Vishnu's form, when it is discussed, when you say he is in Satvaguna, that means Vishnu sees the things always in the pure way. Or if you are in Satvaguna also, you will see things as they are. It won't be mixed with any illusion. There will be no effect of any illusion. When you have Rajogunam, Tamogunam, your vision is colored due to what? Presence of the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Therefore, you are affected by Maya. Maya's effect is there in us. And when there is effect of Maya, all our vision is also colored. We will identify with the body, identify with the matter, mind, intelligence and things like that. This is all colored vision. Proper vision is, I am Atma, spirit soul. So that pure vision will come when we are situated in the Satvaguna. That is what Krishna is saying here. Satvam yattal parabhyam abarikalanato nirmalam tena taval bhuder bhudendriya istai vapuridi bahusha shruyate vyasa vakyam. Vedavyasa Maharshi says this in the Bhagavadam, that tatsatvam yattal parabhyam abarikalanato nirmalam. If there is no impurities in the Satvagunam, that means if it is Shuddha Satvam, Nirmalam Dena Daval Bhuder Bhudendriya Istai Vapu Iti Bahusha Shruyate Vyasa Vakyam. Vyasa Vakyam, it is Vedavyasa Maharshi's words. That if you are in the Satvagunam, that you will see the things as they are. Why? Tal Svachhatval, that Svachhatvam. Svachhatvam means that crystalline nature. Crystal, that is the advantage, isn't it? If you are like a crystal, if you look from outside, if you have a nice crystal, everything inside the crystal you can see from outside. Crystal clear, we say. Isn't it? Crystal clear. That's why we say like that. So that nature is a nature of Satvagunam. That crystal clear nature is the nature of Satvagunam. And because of that vision comes to us, due to Satvagunam, we will not misunderstand with the body as the self. We will not misunderstand the mind as the self. We will not misunderstand the intelligence as the self. We will understand who we are as the self. Awareness of the self will be very strong in that person. That is what it is meant here. Tasmin dhanya ramande shudhimati madure sugrahe vigrahete. So, and that state is very enjoyable. That pure Satvagunam state. We are Satvagunam state. Shudhimati Madhuri. And that is Anandamayam. Blissful state. Tejomayam. So many things spoken. So, and that is Krishna's body. Krishna's body is like that. Because of the pure Satvam. Shuddha Satvam in that body. So, suppose that Shuddha Satvam, what is there, it happened to someone in his mind. In his chittam. If this has happened, then he becomes a jnani. If that same Shuddha Satvam happens to someone in his mind, Shuddha Satvagunam, then he becomes a jnani. So that Satvagunam, which is not mixed with Rajogunam or Tamogunam, and that is what Krishna is saying here. What will happen to that person? If pure Satvagunam builds up in a person, what will happen to him? That's the next verse. Shamodamastidikshesham Tapasatyam Daya Smriti Tushti Tyagam Spriha Shraddha Kri Dayadi Swanurubrati.
That comes from there. That comes from there.
Shamam, all the same qualities what Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita also. And you can see they are very much similar to the qualities of the Brahmana also, or Jnani.
Brahmana or Jnani, whichever way you want to call it.
Shamam, Damam, Tidirsha, all of them. Tapasya, Satyam, Daya, Smriti, Tushti, Tyagam, Spriha, Shraddha, Hri, Daya, Adibi. So Narvardi. So,
what is the nature of Sattva Gunam without being mixed with any other Gunam? What is the nature of Rajogunam when it is not mixed with any other Gunam? What is the nature of Tamogunam when it is not mixed with any other Gunam? That is those two verses, and also the third verses, four verses, talking about that. Shamam, damam, tidiksha, tapasa, satyam, daya, smriti, tushti, tyagam, spriha, shraddha, hir, dayadibi, dayadi, sunarvrati. That's all sattvagunam, pure sattvam. Then pure rajogunam, kamam, iha, madam, trishna, stambham, ashirbhida, sukham, madam, ulsaham, yashas, preeti, hasyam, veeryam, belam, udyamam. Pure tamas comes next. Krotham, lobham, anurdham, himsa, yajna, dambham, klama, kali, shogam, moham, vishadam, arti, nidra, asha, anudyamam. All this is tamogunam. Pure tamogunam. So those three verses, verse 2 is sattugunam, verse 3 is rajogunam, and verse 4 is tamogunam. And then Krishna is saying, sattvasya rajasas chaida tamasas chanu purvasha vrutrayo varnida praya sannipadham adho shrunu. After this Krishna says that after talking about the individually about sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, then he says sannipadham adho shrunu. When they get mixed, what will happen? In the next verses, he's going to talk about that. So, first is the two ways Krishna spoke. One is when they are mixed, another one when they are pure. Gunanam asamishranam, when they are not mixed, and then samishram and mishram. Mishram and asamishram. Asamishram is when they are not mixed. That's what those verses are. Then the next one is samishram. Krishna says, shuddha sattvam, when the shuddha sattvagunam, if pure sattvagunam develops in a person, these qualities what Krishna has spoken in the second verse, they will be present in him. They will be present in him. What are they? Shamam. Shamam means control of the senses. Damam means control of the mind. So always his mind and senses will be under control. Tidiksha. Tidiksha means ability to tolerate anything. Isn't it? Tidiksha. You know that word, tidiksha. Tidiksha vakkaruniya sukhrida sarvadehinam, Bhagavadam says. Ajada Shatravo Shanda Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. So that is that Tidiksha. Then the next one is Tidiksha Icha. Icha means always he is absorbed in the knowledge of the Veda, Vedic literature. Knowledge of the Vedic literature. And that means he will maintain his thoughts always around spiritual life. Always around spiritual life. That is Icha. The word Icha means. And then the next one is tapaha.
mind, intelligence, senses, prana, all of them under control and able to direct them in the self-realization process. Able to direct them in the self-realization process. And never satyam, that satyam word, satyam means Krishna is the truth. Never to forget Krishna. Never to forget Krishna. So, satyam, daya, smriti. Or in other words, both body, mind and the intelligence all the time utilizes in remembrance of Krishna. Somehow or the other, engage them in remembering Krishna. And daya, daya means compassion to all other living entities. And smriti, smriti means proper thing comes from the memory at the time when you need it. That is what smriti means. Say for example, you are studying so many things, books and hearing a lot, but you need to, it need to come to your use when you need it. Otherwise it's no good, isn't it? So that is what's called smriti. Smriti means at the right time, it must come for your benefit, for application. Tushti. Tushti means always in a satisfied state. Tyagam. Tyagam means you have no problem in giving up anything in this world. Nispraha. Nispraha means no desires for anything. Shraddha. Whatever that has to be done, doing that with proper attention and faith in there. Hri. Hri means certain things when you do in this world, feeling ashamed of that, feeling shame about that. Not shameless, to feel ashamed. To feel ashamed to do certain things, or to say some things, or to do some things. So, what one should not do, if one does that, he is feeling ashamed about that. That is called hri. This is there, the same words in the Bhagavad Gita also, you will see. Everything the same, Krishna has ditto taken here. Daya. Then sunarvrati. Sunarvrati means being satisfied within oneself in the, because of self, understanding of the self. He is satisfied within himself. He is able to be happy within himself, not with the help of the external world. That you can see, some persons, if you are in the aware vicinity of great mahalpas, you will notice this. They are totally satisfied within themselves, isn't it? Nirvati. If only sattvagunam is inside him, all these qualities, what Krishna has spoken, will be there in him. Will be there in him. So, when you look at these, if you find these qualities in a great personality, you can say that he is a great person, because these qualities you find in him. Shamam, damam, tidiksha, yucha, tapa, satyam, daya, smriti, tushti, tyagam, spriha, shraddha, kri, dayadi, sunarvrati, all of them. Then the next one is rajogunam. If somebody has rajogunam, is in rajogunam, you will see those things. Kamam. Kama means desiring everything. Then when you see something, oh, I would like to have that. Then, in order to get it, willing to go out and to work for it, to get it, all these things, and desire to possess it, to hold on to that, to protect that, and to experience that, all this is karma. All this is karma. Iha. Iha is another form of karma. Iha, the word. Karma, iha. Iha is another form of karma. In other words, if it becomes iha, it's a little advanced karma. Advanced karma means, you know, first you get a desire for something. Then you start thinking, I cannot live in this world without that. If that stage comes, it's called iha. That's the difference. Some things we say, oh, if I get it, it's okay. I'll try to get it. If I don't get it, it's all right. Okay. But sometimes some things, you find it, you want it, and then a stage comes that if I don't get it, I cannot live in this world. I must have it. If that comes, kamam has become iha. then. That's why it's called Iha. Iha. So, Iha. So, it is another variation of Kamam in another form. Madam. Madam means always very proud. Feeling very proud. Trishna. Trishna means whatever you get, not satisfied. Never satisfied. Always more, more, more. Stambham. Stambha means never thinking anything in a proper way about anything. Stambham. In a sort of a state where you don't analyze anything properly. No proper understanding of things. Ashirbhida sukham. Ashirbhida sukham means that by others' grace or other great personalities' grace or Krishna's grace, it is due to that that I will become happy and peaceful in this world. Not thinking like that. Normally it is like that, is it not? By others' grace only we have some happiness in this life. Mahatmas, great personalities, great devotees, great jnanis, and highly realized souls, they have given us happiness and peace in this world. Is it not? So, therefore, but not recognizing that, not acknowledging that, always thinking that, instead of that, thinking that, oh, I know what is right and what's wrong, to challenge everything and to question everything, and thinking that I can be happy on my own. That will never happen. We have to always acknowledge this fact that due to Krishna's grace and due to the grace of all the great sages, rishis, and the great devotees, acharyas, jnanis, they have given us all Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, gives us shanti inside and proper awareness of life and satisfaction in life, shanti. Not acknowledging that, that is what Krishna is saying that. Ashirbhida sukham. Sukham has not come from their mercy. Instead thinking that it's my own. I am happy because I am happy. No. They will always acknowledging their contribution due to which we are peacefully living in this world. Our peace in this world is dependent on their grace, what they have shown to us. They gave us Bhagavad Gita. They gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. And they gave us so many other valuable Vedic literature. And many other great personalities, they appeared in this world and they lived a life to show to us what will be the benefit of living a spiritual life. That is why we get inspired from, is it not? So what Krishna is saying there, that if you see that those who don't want to recognize that and acting independently thinking that, oh, I am on my own happy, I don't need, who are they, and questioning their authority, that comes from pure Rajoguna. Krishna says like that. Not acknowledging their contribution, always. Not being grateful to them. Not being grateful to them. And not working also to get their grace. To work for their grace. Then madam. Madam means always ahangaram. Too much ahangaram inside. And madam ulsaham. Ulsaham means is always a lot of enthusiasm to do things. That's rajogunam it is. Some people you will notice. Very enthusiastic, isn't it? For anything, to kill somebody, enthusiastic. they will preach and they will preach and then they will kill. So both will come, because ulsaham is there in them. So ulsaham is like that. Yasha Prithi, very fond of fame and name and fame. Yasha Prithi, fond of name and fame. Then hasyam. Hasyam means making fun of others. Happiness in that. Hasyam. Then Krishna says, viryam balam udyamam. That viryam bala udyamam. Always trying to increase his strength in every way. Viryam and balam udyamam. And all, puts all his effort in increasing his own strength. That's that. All this is in a person who has got full of Rajoguna. Full of Rajoguna. Then the fourth verse, a person who has only got pure Tamogunam. Pure Tamogunam. That's very good.
Pure tamoguna.
Krodham, lobham, anardam, himsa, ajna, dambham, klama, kali, shogam, moham, vishadam, arthi, nidra, asha, vi anudyamaha. He says here, krodham. Krodham means, as soon as you do something, you'll get angry. And if he doesn't like it, he'll get upset with you. And then if you tell him that, if you tell him that somebody is doing something, he gets angry with it. So if you tell him that, oh, he is doing it, why are you getting angry about it? He says, so what? Should he do like that? He should not be doing like that. He should be doing like this. And getting on with everyone's nerves, in other words. Unnecessarily getting angry about things. Once, two swamis, two sannyasis, they were having a cup of tea. And one swami is telling the other swami, in my tea there is not enough sugar, he says. There is no enough sugar in the tea. Why there is not enough sugar in this? So he said that, they were living in an ashram, two of them together. So the other swami says that, I thought we should not spend a lot on sugar. It costs money. Says ashram, isn't it? Very austere, everything. So the other swami says, so, but how can I drink the tea without sugar? He says like that. So there is enough sugar, this swami says to other swami. So the other swami says, who has made the tea, he says, that so what? He says, I don't like spending unnecessarily. He's saying, so, but this swami says, no, but somebody has brought the sugar and given to us. Why don't we use it? No, even then I don't like it. He says, like that. So, in this way, that if he does what he wants, that is what he is saying here. That he says something, he gets upset. Krotho lobham. Lobham means intense greed. Intense greed. Anardam. Anardam means without any reason will tell lies. No profit from that, but still tell lies. Himsa, and give pain to others. Ajna, yajna. Yajna means, for his sake he will do anything, beg, or whatever necessary. He will beg from somebody and get it. Dambham. Dambham means always staying in a very egoistic state. Dambham. Klamam. Klamam means laziness. No interested in anything. Kali means creating ill feeling towards others, towards others. And sometimes you can see between two people, after a while, there is a certain uneasiness develops, isn't it? Shoga moho, you say, shoga moham, shoga means the mind in a depressed state, always. And moham, ulsaham, unmesham. Moha means illusion. Always in a sort of some funny way mind is working. It's in an illusion state. Or you can say that no happiness inside. Not satisfied with anything. No enthusiasm. Or feeling happiness at all. Satisfied at all. If you ask him, how are you? Or how are you passing? How is life? He'll say, what life? That kind of people. Anything, the reply will be negative. If you ask him, how are you? What, how am I? in a very depressed mood, he'll give you a reply. Then you won't ask that question again. He'll give you such an answer that you won't ask that question again. When you see him next time, you'll say, Haribol, he'll pass through. Because that tamoguna comes out in the answer. He won't even give you a proper reply. Anything you tell him, it will bounce back with full of tamoguna. It will bounce back. Even if you have smiled at him and asked him in a nice way, the reply will be very negative and very depressing. And when you get two or three times like that, after that you won't ask. He'll give it up, isn't it? So if you ask him, if there is any reason behind it, no, there's no reason. Particularly, why he is so unhappy. He has got all the problems like everybody else has got. The same problems he has got. But he is so depressed about it. And moham. Moham means misunderstanding about everything.
About?
Misunderstanding everything. Vishada Arthi, Krishna says. Vishada Sabhav. Vishada means always in a sort of a off mood, mood off stage. Arthi. Arthi means mind is in a painful, experiencing some misery all the time. And you will say if you ask him, what's the point in living like this? He will say like that. What's the point in living like this? Everything is in a mess. Things are so miserable. Like this, if you ask, answer will be like this. That is called arthi. Arthi means that feeling inside. Nidra, that you know. Everybody knows what it means, isn't it? Always likes to sleep. Nirudyamam. Nirudyamam means he has got to do a lot of things he has got to do. But nirudyamam, he is not willing to do anything. Nirudyamam. And if somebody else wants to do it, let them do it. I don't want to do anything. What's the point in doing all these things? This way, thinking like this. That's called a nirudyamam. I cannot do that. He won't do his work also, what he has to do. So, that is all these three verses. Then Krishna is saying here, these three gunam, satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, if any of them, if completely is present in a person, then his nature will be like this. If it's only pure satugunam, or pure rajogunam, or pure tamogunam. If any one of them is in a person, these three verses will be the person's nature. After that, he's saying that satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, after saying this, he says here, they have become varnida prayam. Vrittayo varnida prayam. Varnida prayam means, if these three gunam grows in a person on their own, it is their nature that has been spoken. Vrittido varnida prayam sannivadam adhoshramam. Now, when they get mixed up, what will happen? That's what Krishna is going to say now onwards. From Jiva, right up to all the materials, all the products in this world, all of them is under the three modes of material nature. There is nothing here outside the three modes of material nature. The mind, intelligence, knowledge, our chittam, thought waves, all of them are under three modes of material nature. That we should never forget. The mind, intelligence, and the our knowledge, under three modes of nature. Food, three modes of nature. Karmam, three modes of nature. Place where we live, under three modes of nature. Everything, and even our thoughts that comes in, is also under three modes of nature. And in the jiva, when they are present, and we say that they manifest in the form of Icha, Kriya, Jnanam. See, when a living entity is engaged in Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Icha Shakti, these are the three power we have got. Power to desire, power to acquire knowledge, and power to act. These three things. Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. So, this jivatvam, a jiva is a jiva because these three forces are there in that jiva. Jiva has got these three forces. Which one? Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, and Kriya Shakti. Icha Shakti means when you see something, you want it. The desiring power. And that is a feature of tamogunam. That Icha Shakti is a feature of tamogunam. Kriya Shakti is that desire to work and get it. Action. Desire to act. And that is a symptom of Rajogunam. Is it not? And Jnana Shakti is, after you have got it, After a while, you feel you don't need it. After you got the thing. You feel you don't need it. In these three, that is called Jnana Shakti. Because when you got the thing, you realize that is not of much use to me. In this life, you can see everything what we have acquired, we know very well that is of no use to me, including the body. Up to that extent. That is Jnana Shakti. So, this Jnana Shakti, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, they themselves is Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam in another form, if you call it like that. When it comes into action, it is called Kriya Shakti, otherwise it is Rajogunam. When it is knowledge, Jnana Shakti, when you come to realize it, that it is of no use to you, like you work hard, earn a lot of money, finally you realize it is all a waste of time. You go to university, get a lot of degrees, finally you realize it's all a waste of time. You start your family life thinking that it's going to bring some happiness, finally it's a waste of time. You realize it one day, is it not? Ultimately that's the truth. So that is Jnana Shakti. When there is Jnanam inside, you will realize it. If there is no Jnanam, if the Jnanam is powerful inside, this realization will come from the world. Jnana Shakti will dictate this to us. So anything what we do in this world, except self-realization, will make us aware one day that it is a waste of time. And that knowledge, when you realize it, that is called Jnana Shakti. And that is the nature of Sattvagunam. Similarly, when you desire something in this world, name, fame, wealth, followers, whatever it may be, and to work for that very hard to get it, and that is called Kriya Shakti or Rajogunam. Same thing, spoken in two different ways. When it is spoken, but if there is a jiva, jiva means these three things will be present in him. Which one? Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Ichha Shakti. Ichha Shakti means that as much as you see something, you want to have it. You have tasted something, you want to have it. That means any senses, engage in any sensual activities, creating a desire inside, and that desire growing inside is due to this Ichha Shakti. Ichha Shakti. Power of Ichha. Ichha means desire. Ichha Shakti. In these three ways, this Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam works in the jiva in the form of Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. The three gunam work in us in these three ways, in these three different ways. And the same thing, it goes into the mind also, these three modes. And they what do they do in the mind? They create Vikshepam, Avaranam, Bodham. Three things it does. These are also Vikshepam, Avaranam, Bodham is also a product of these three modes of nature in the mind. And those modes of nature goes into intelligence and they work there in the form of forgetfulness, memory and action. In the intelligence. They work like that. And in the body, it stays in the three forms. Air, bile and mucus. Air, bile and mucus. Then, in all the objects in this world, it remains in three forms. Black, white and red. Three colors. It's present in everything. It's present in everything. So, you can see this, how three modes of nature goes into body, goes into the mind, goes into the intelligence, and goes into the mind, body and the intelligence, and goes into the world as well. That is why Krishna is saying there, these three parts of material nature are present in everything in this world. So, wherever it is in this world, even if it is in the fire, or in any other object in this world, or even in a smaller worms, krimi, or any smaller living entity, wherever you look, Krishna says, this you will notice this three gunams present in them. Three gunams present in them. And there is no product or living being in this world without the action of these three gunam, sattvadi gunam, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. Without their presence and actions, no living entity or no product in this world can remain here. So, in order to remove those modes of nature from the mind, because mind is always under the three modes of nature. Mind, you can see, it's always thinking about something, isn't it? It's always thinking about something. There is no time when the mind is not thinking. That is why, you remember, Krishna is saying, vikshevam avaranam bodham. In three ways mind works. Vikshevam means that it is, thought waves are continuously coming through the mind. And that vikalpam, flow of vikalpams inside is vikshevam. That means you can't think about, for example, I'm thinking about this book now, the next moment I'm thinking about this mic. Why? This thought has gone away and this thought has come in. So constantly, one after the other, one thought superseded by another thought in this way, one thought followed by another thought, this follow of thoughts after thought is called a vikshevam. That's called vikshevam. So vikshevam is due in the mind presence due to the gunam. Then avaranam. Vikshevam, avaranam and bodham. Avaranam means that when you look at any product in this world, the mind is not perceiving that product in its proper way. You are experiencing it something else due to the covering. That means mind is not able to acquire the right understanding of the product. In a false way, it accepts things. Sankalpa, vikalpam, like that, vikshepam, avaranam. Avaranam is that covering nature of the mind. Just like they give the example of the snake and the rope. Similarly, avaranam puts a cover to everything. When you see a person, you are not seeing the awareness inside. Instead, you see the name and the form, the body and the clothes he wears, male or female, all these things. This is all avaranam. That's not his real name, real person. The real person is something different. So avaranam gives you a false image of the product or the person to you. So vikshepam, avaranam and bodham. Bodham means in your awareness you get the object. You get the object in your, that is also an aspect of that. Vikshepam, avaranam and bodham. In the mind you can also see that forgetfulness, memory and pravritti or action, in these three forms it is present inside. So mind and the intelligence, both of them, you will see the presence of sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam in three different forms. Because there is three modes of nature, mind also will act in three different ways. Intelligence also will act in three different ways because of the three modes of nature. That is the important thing to know. Similarly, in us, there is a, because we are living entities, jiva, we got these three things, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. Power to act, power to acquire knowledge and power to desire. These three things also is present due to Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Why Krishna is saying this is to make us aware that as a jiva, you have a lot of limitations. We are not independent. We are completely under the control of the three modes of material nature. When Krishna says to Arjuna, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhalpma kartaham iti manyate, isn't it? So from that verse you can understand that the three modes of material nature, when they are present inside, it is influencing the body in the form of air, bile and mucus. It's influencing the intelligence, vikshepam avaranam bodham. It influencing the mind in the form of forgetfulness, memory and action. And And in all the product, in the jiva has its own Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. So at every level, three modes of nature is operating. In the body level, it is operating. In the mental level, it is operating. Intellectual level, it is operating. And in our awareness also, we have this jivatvam. As long as you are a jiva, you have this Ichha, Kriya, Jnanam, three things. So at various levels, they are present in us, in different forms. In different forms, they are present in us. So when somebody says to us that three modes of material nature is present in a person, immediately you have to know how it is present, in what level it is present. That is what Krishna has spoken. When somebody says to us, oh, he is under the three modes of material nature, where is that material nature? It is there in the body, air, bile and mucus. It is there in the, and the Ayurveda will tell you, when you have a higher percentage of air in the body, what kind of nature that person will be. Bile, if it is present, what kind of nature he will be. Mucus, if it is excessive in the body, what kind of nature. Air, bile and mucus is, the gross manifestation is this, of the sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam in the body. Air, bile and mucus. Similarly, when it goes to the mind, three modes of nature. When it goes to intelligence, three modes of nature. And beyond that, as jiva, we have these three powers in us. Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. That is also three modes of material nature. So three modes of material nature from all levels. It's present in all of us. Isn't it? So, so mind, for example, is always absorbed in thoughts. Mind is always absorbed in thoughts. And remember this, all the products in this world are also three modes of nature. In us, there is three modes of nature in all levels. Then all the products in the world are also under three modes of material nature. So when this mind, which is under modes of nature, when it is absorbed in the thoughts of all the products in the modes of material nature, this gunabhavam, it is called a gunabhavam. Gunabhavam means this, the products are gunamayam, mind is gunabhavam. Gunabhavam means mind in the modes of nature. That is called a gunabhavam. Suppose satvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam is present in me, then in my mind there is gunabhavam in me. That is how they will say. Generally it is said like that. He has gunabhavam in him. So gunabhavam inside me, products all gunamayam. All the products in the world are gunamayam. So gunamayam, when the gunabhavam, if you start thinking about various things in this world, this mind which has got gunabhavam, when it starts thinking about the products which is gunamayam, this gunabhavam will keep increasing. Gunabhavam will keep increasing because of thinking about gunamayam. Products are gunamayam. Products are under three modes of material nature. They are also under three modes of nature. So when the gunabhavam in the mind, when the mind gets absorbed in anything in this world outside, no matter what it is, this gunabhavam will increase due to the contact with gunamayam, which is the products inside. And when that gunabhavam increases inside, it is at that time, little by little, he will find it very difficult. Whatever difficulties he had in him, for example with his nature, in Subhavam, and even if he wants to have control over those things, if he wants to come out from that, if he wants to escape from that grip of mind, he should be able to think about something which does not have any modes of nature. Suppose, I'm just saying, try to see this way, that inside we have modes of nature, that is called gunabhava. Everything in this world is gunamayam. So, if I want to escape from gunam, if I make contact with gunamayam, my gunabhavam will go up. Gunabhavam will go up. Suppose I want to come out of it, then my thought should go after something which is not gunamayam. I should be able to think about something. Only in that case, my gunabhavam will come down. Otherwise, it will go up. Is it not? So, is there something who is not touched by the three modes of material nature, a person or object in this world? There is nobody here. There is nobody here. Only Krishna is there. Krishna is the only object or person, or whichever way you want to address them. Atma is the only object which does not get affected by gunam, three modes. So, if inside me I have a lot of gunabhavam, and if I want to come out of that gunabhavam, and I need to be in touch with something which is not under the effect of gunam, under the effect of gunam. That is the reason why they say that when you come to spiritual life, as much as possible, we should not bring into our inside, outside world. If you bring outside world, means more modes of nature will get in, inside us. Three modes of nature will come inside. That is the reason why they say you have to always remember Krishna. If you remember Krishna is outside three modes of material nature. So if you simply remember Krishna all the time, somehow or the other gets absorbed in Krishna, in karma, in thoughts, in actions and everything, then the effect of that is, it will bring down your gunabhavam inside. The gunabhavam will come down. So if all the time, if somebody is engaged in Krishna consciousness, chanting, deity worship, or studying Bhagavatam, Kirtanam, Upavasam, Swadhyayam, various things, he's doing all that thing, his gunabhavam will come down inside. His gunabhavam will come down. And in due course of time, his mind will get purified. So when the gunabhavam comes down, mind will get pure, and due to that purity, he will have the capacity for self-inquiry, tattva-vicharam, in other words, and he will be able to know what is the truth. And that is the reason why Krishna is saying, always you have to get absorbed in spiritual life. Always you have to get absorbed in spiritual life, for this reason only. For this reason only. That, so that the three modes of nature inside goes away. If instead of getting absorbed in Krishna or Krishna consciousness, if the mind gets more and more absorbed in the world, say sports or politics or business or television or whatever it may be, because they are all under the three modes, they will get inside and our gunabhavam will increase. So to bring the gunabhavam down inside, contact with the gunamayam has to come to an end, has to come to a stop. So you will see that in the sixth verse. Sannivadastva mahamidi mame tyuddhavayamati vyavaharaha sannivadam mano matrendriya subhi. Sannivadastva mahamidi mamedi uddhavayamati vyavaharaha sannivadam mano matrendriya subhi. Sannivadam means me and minds. Ahamidi mamedi. Ahamidi mamedi. Me and mind is called sannivadam. Sannivadam means the state. And when I say that I am in shanti, in peaceful state, or I am desiring something, or I am angry, all that stages, you can say, if you say like that, I am peaceful, or I have some desire, or I am angry, what does that mean? It means I have sattugunam, I have rajogunam, or I have tamogunam, isn't it, inside me. So therefore, when the modes are present inside, it will have an effect on the mind straight away. So all the activities of the mind, senses, and the tanmatra. Tanmatra means shabdam, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. All of them. Prana and all the vyavaharam associated with that. Krishna is saying all of them are the result of the mixture of the three modes of nature. So, all of them, vyavaharam sannivadaha mano matrendriya subhi. So, sannivadam means, sannivadam
is what Krishna is going to discuss now. Sannibhada means that when they have mixed up the three modes of material nature, when they are mixed up, their nature, Krishna says, now he will talk about them. That is what this is. When Sannivadam comes, that is when me and mine comes. When we say Aham Mameti, me and mine. Aham Mameti. Me and mine comes when the modes of nature mixes. When the modes of nature are mixing. In pure modes of nature, it won't be there. If you can see that in the Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, when we looked at previously, pure Sattugunam, pure Rajogunam, pure Tamogunam, this me and mine does not operate. There is another things present then. But when it comes to pure, when it gets mixed up one gunam with the other, then this aham ameti will come there. Krishna is saying, sannivadastum ahamiti mameti uddhava ya mati vyavaharam sannivadau mano matendri atmadi. Mano matendri yasubhi. So, in everything what he does, he will say, I am doing this. It's mine. And that pride will be there in that what he does. And whatever he is seeing like that, whatever he does with that understanding, he is doing it, and with his ego behind it, that is all due to this, what the Krishna calls it as Sannivadam. Sannivadam. Sannivadam means mixture of this gunam. So, sattva-gunam, rajo-gunam, tamo-gunam, and their corresponding nature, all of them you are observing through this thing called Abhimanam, I am. That means when these three gunams are operating in us, and when we are looking at anything, then me, I am, comes into that. Similarly, senses, the mind, intelligence, and due to that, when they also come into action, false ego will also come there, and it will, everything what you do, because the modes are mixed up in the mind, intelligence and ego, ego starts playing the role at that time. Aham Ameti is ego, me and mine. Aham Ameti is dependent on ego. So, when the modes of nature gets mixed up inside, Krishna says, the immediate effect of that is, Aham Ameti will come and Ahangaram will come. Ahangaram will come. So, basically, what Krishna is pointing out is, whatever vritti, whatever activities are coming through a person, it is only due to the excessive presence of a particular gunam. It is never one gunam alone. There will be excessive rajogunam, or excessive tamogunam, or excessive sattogunam in a person. That's operating at that time in him. In him. That's all we have to understand. That say, excessive sattogunam comes in a person, what will happen? He will go towards looking for self-inquiry or knowledge of the self. Bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, these things will start influencing him. We are thinking we are independent, aren't we? How independent are we in all these things? That's why we have to be careful about, while dealing in this world also, to that extent, that practically we have no independence, to be truthful about that. In the body, mind, intelligence, everywhere three modes of nature is present, and they are interacting as well. So, even making decisions, in making your own commitments, and everywhere, these modes of nature is operating all the time. And depending on which gunam is present, to what degree, your decisions will follow accordingly. That's all it is. Sattugunam excessive action, sattugunam means you will feel the necessity to develop spiritually. You will feel that necessity. I think it is in the same chapter where Krishna says later, you will see that, 27th verse, if you look in this chapter. Sattvigam adhyalmigi shraddha karma shraddha tu rajasi Tamasi adharma adharma ya shraddha malse vayam tu nurgunam. That is what it is. So if sattvagunam builds up in 27, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Sattvika dhalpigi shraddha. Sattvagunam, if it is growing inside in a natural way, you don't have to do anything. You will feel an inclination for spiritual life, spiritual understanding, more attachment to spiritual life. You will feel like ignoring everything in this world, material knowledge, science, material understanding. You will feel total indifference to it. Because inside sattvagunam is working. It's a symptom of that. Because sattvagunam will dictate to you from inside. Leave the false things. Don't depend on that. That's not in your interest. From inside, that it will prompt inside. Sattvagunam will prompt from within to go in the spiritual direction. That's the benefit. Sattvika dhyalmigi shraddha. In the same way, you can see in people, when rajogunam comes over strongly, he'll become very attached to the work. Work and the result. That will be the effect of that. Work and the result. He will think that work will become his top priority over everything else in the life. Work, work, work. Work is more important than any. Then that's where this work is worship and all. There's some thing, isn't it? It comes from that. That is Rajogunam. That somehow or the other, work and commitment to work becomes prominent. Karma shraddhatu rajasi. Then tamasi, he says here. Yeah. Tamas adharmeya shraddha. Tamas tamoguna means to go and do all kinds of nonsense. Adharma. To break the law and to enjoy. Don't care for anything what happens later on. If you tell them that, look, death is going to come one day, you're going to face the disease, we'll see when it comes. That'll be the reply. The answer will be, we'll see, look at it when it comes. Why you waste your time now worrying about it? That'll be their answer. That is a tamogunam, symptom of tamogunam. Now is the time to enjoy, they'll say to you. And they won't enjoy also, they'll just sit there not doing anything. Tamas adharmaye ya shraddha. Malse vayamta nurgunam. Only one who has transcended the three modes can serve Krishna, actually. Nobody else can serve Krishna. Only one who has transcended the three modes. Malse vayamta nurguna, Krishna says. So anyway, so here, whatever it may be, as long as we have this mode inside, me and mine, if it is inside, and on holding on to that, and whatever karma you do in this world, this is the important thing. As long as me and mine is in me, in my work, and whatever karma is coming through me, I'm doing in this world, Krishna says, that is all sannibhadam. That word Krishna used there. Sannibhada gunaswarupam, he says. That is all considered to be the effect of sannibhadam. Sannibhadam it is. Either the three modes of material nature is present there, either one or all the three. Either one mixed with another one, one or two or three. Two or three it will be. Sannibhadam means two or three. Either two or three. But it is mixed. It's not pure. That's the point. It's not pure. It's not pure goodness. It's not pure passion. It's not pure ignorance. It's either two. Sattvagunam with rajogunam, or rajogunam with tamogunam, or sattvagunam with tamogunam. Or wherever me and mine is involved in any action, and if action is going in that way, through the body and the mind, that means in that case, the gunam in that person is mixed. That's all. Gunam in that person is mixed. Suppose there are two gunam present in a person, and one gunam is stronger than the other gunam. But say satugunam is present strongly in a person. But still, the deficiencies or the problems of rajogunam and tamogunam can still come through that person. And so
At some point in time, his rajogunam and tamogunam will go away from him, and in due course of time, when his sattugunam gets very strong, at that time he will have his knowledge. Proper knowledge will come to him. See, at some stage he is working in this world through sattugunam mixed with, say, rajogunam, or rajogunam mixed with tamogunam. And there is ahambhavam there, aham amedi, what Krishna is saying there. It's there. But if he keeps on working, after a while, Krishna is saying that somehow or the other, if sattugunam builds up at some point in time, and the influence of rajogunam and tamogunam comes down, in that case, knowledge will come to him later on.
Dharme artheja kamecha yadasau parinishtidaha gunanam sannigarshoyam shraddha radhi dhanavaha.
See that seventh verse.
Dharme charteja kamecha yadasau parinishtidaha gunanam sannigarshoyam shraddha radhi dhanavaha.
Some guidance Krishna is pointing out. When your shraddha, or when you get very serious about dharmam, artham, kamam, four things, that means dharmam is religiosity, artham, economic development, and kamam, sense gratification. In that case, when you get serious about all those things, at that time, shraddha, radhi, dhanam. Shraddha, radhi, dhanam. This is the after effect of that. Dharmam, artham, kamam, yadasau parinishtida, gunanam, sannigarshoyam, shraddha, radhi, dhanavaha. Shraddha means seriousness, radhi means that enjoying nature, and dhanam means wealth. So all of this is coming from the modes of nature. Practically what Krishna says there, dharmam, artham, kamam, right? Those three are coming from the three modes. Which one? Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. From sattugunam comes dharmam, rajogunam comes artham, tamogunam comes kamam. So, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham we say normally, is it not? Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. So, out of those three, dharmam, artham, kamam, they are coming from these three gunam. Which one? Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Sattugunam comes dharmam, rajogunam comes artham, and tamogunam comes kamam. Tamogunam comes kamam. So, when they come, these three modes of nature, and when we are absorbed in this, dharmam, artham, kamam, the result is shraddha, radhi, dhanam. That's the result. Kamam turns into radhi. Kamam turns into radhi. Artham turns into dhanam. And dharmam turns to become shraddha. So, shraddha, radhi, dhanam. Shraddha, radhi, dhanam. Dhanam is wealth. Wealth is a product of this. Wealth is a product of rajogunam, which has come in the form of artham. Artham is dhanam, in other words. So all of them, Krishna is saying, is only due to the mixture of these three gunam. You know why Krishna said this? Why he's saying like that is, in the Vedam, practically, from the Vedic point of view, our life has to be based on these four. We are allowed to live in this world. Varnashrama dharmam is based on dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. For which dharmam is the basis. Dharmam is the basis. Dharma means to follow shastram strictly, religious principles. That is dharmam. So you are allowed to earn wealth in this world, but it should be based on dharmam. Practically what says is dharmam is the foundation on which you can build your life. You can earn money, but it should be artham, but it should be based on dharmam. You can have your sense gratification. It should be based on dharma. Properly. That is what it is, what it means. If you do all these three things, dharmam, artham, kamam, then the last thing, moksham, Krishna says that person is allowed to have. He's allowed to have moksham.
from this world, material existence. So, dharmam is 25, artham 25, kamam 25 and moksham 25, totally 100%, like that, 25% each. But basis of everything is dharmam. Without dharmam, everything should be based on dharmam. So much stress given on dharmam. Remember, Mahabharatam was written by Vedavyas to show to the world how important is dharmam, isn't it? Duryodhana said, that's the only thing I can't follow, he said. Everything else I'm willing to follow, but dharmam don't tell me about it, he said. I'm not able to follow, he said. So, Mahabharatam is based on dharmam. Dharmam is spoken there. What one should not do, what one should do, and so many other things. Stree dharmam, Raja dharmam, Purusha dharmam, Varna dharma, Ashrama dharmam, so many dharmam spoken there. So, dharmam is the guideline for everything. On that artham you can have, kamam you can have, and then you will be eligible for moksham as well. So, here, so long as a person is only in the dharmam, artham, kamam, in that stage, what will happen is, and he is only working for that, but not working for the last one, for the moksham. He is following everything based on Shastra, but he has not taken spiritual life. He has not taken to spiritual life seriously. In that case, in that person, when you look, all what's happening there is, his gunabhavam is working. That is what Krishna is pointing out in that verse. That when a person is working in this world without the goal of self-realization, without trying to advance spiritually, instead only absorbed in the maintaining the religious principles, acquiring wealth, and living his life based on Shastram without breaking the rules, even though he is following Vedic literature, but he is still under the three modes of material nature, and that is Sannibadam, what Krishna has called before, and all that is happening here is that that the modes of nature is still operating through that person. Operating through that person. Now, can you say that in such a person, he has no goodness in him? Because he is following Shastram. He is following Shastram. He is not breaking the law. He lives on a dharmic way. And he has got he earns money in this world for maintaining his grihastha life, whichever, based on Shastram only, not breaking the rule. What Krishna's point is that if you ask the question, has he got Sattagunam in him? Krishna says, no, he hasn't got. Reason is, Krishna is saying, if Sattagunam builds up in him, he will definitely work for self-realization. That is Krishna's answer. Now you see, when three modes of material nature is operating in us, you have to look at it carefully. Some people you will see in this world, they will stick to religious life. They have their own understanding. They follow a religious path. They earn wealth in this world, not in a bad way, in the right way. And they will also live a proper life. That means without engaging in sinful activities. What Shastram has allowed, he will only take it in this world. If he lives in that world, you can see that he is situated properly, he is earning properly, and he is living properly. Dharmam, artham, kamam. All those three things is following the Shastram. Now, when that is happening, you may ask the question, does it not mean that he is in the Sattugunam? Krishna says no, because the reason being, Krishna's point is, he may have Sattugunam, but there is not enough Sattugunam in him. He may have some Sattugunam, that is why he is doing that. But he doesn't have enough Sattugunam, because if there is sufficient Sattugunam, he will be inquiring about self-realization. Do you see that difference? How Sattugunam changes everything. If there is sufficient, because only in Sattva Gunam
self-inquiry will start in a person. That intense desire to realize the truth will build up only when there is plenty of satogunam inside. Otherwise it won't happen. That is the warning in those verses. That is why Krishna spoke first time about independently each gunam, how it creates, what it does. And then he started telling us when it starts getting mixed up, what happens. So even when it is mixed up, you can see the problem that dharmam artham dhamam, he is endeavoring for that. And he is living, there are many people in this world who will live properly, who won't engage in sinful activities, who don't do any kind of cheating, lying, and live an honest life. May not be many, but there are. And they have their own principles in life. In other words, they respect the Shastram, they accept the Shastram, authority of the Shastram, and they know from Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, Puranams and all, they have learned that they should live in a proper way. And they do their duties, whatever they have for the family, execute their life in a organized way, in disciplined way. Everything is okay with them. They are not engaged in any sinful life. But and if you ask the question, are they not in Sattvagunam? Krishna says, there is Sattvagunam, but there is not enough Sattvagunam in them, because if there is plenty of Sattvagunam, the result will be that they will start inquiring about the self-realization. Because they are not inquiring about self-realization, you have to take it that there is not enough Sattvagunam in them. So it's 10 o'clock, we'll have a break then.
चेदो दर्पणमर्जनं वामः दावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिका विदरणं विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुभनं वरं जयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नान्यामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन काल एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममामि दुर्गैवमीदृशमिह जनिनानुरागाः तृणारपेषु नीचेन तरोरपि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदाद्भक्तिरहेतुगित्वये अयि नन्दतनुं च किङ्करं पतिता मां विषमे भवाम्बुदो कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलिसदृशं विचिन्तयाम् नयनं गलदशुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरां पुलकर्निचिरं कदा वभूतवन्नः ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिदं शून्यायिदं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यदा तदा वा विददा जलं तटो मल्प्राणनाथा सुनैव नापरा
that Krishna is saying that dharmam artham kamam, that is legitimate, that is not against Vedam. Working for dharmam artham kamam is a legitimate thing, that's allowed. But what Krishna mentions there is that because there is not enough sattugunam in that person, even though he follows dharmam artham kamam, everything based on the Shastram, because there is not sufficient sattugunam in him, which is called as sattva sambhati, abundance of sattugunam. If sattugunam is there in abundance, then he will only work for liberation. He will only work for liberation then. Whereas, as if there is not enough sattugunam, he will still be busy with the world. That means about dharmam, following the religious principles, artham, acquiring wealth in the proper way, and kamam, fulfilling his desires in the proper way. But because there is not enough sattva sambhati, abundance of sattva gunam. Sattva sambhati means abundance of sattva gunam. There is some sattva gunam in him, but not enough. If there is an abundance of sattva gunam, he will only work for self-realization. That is the important point to realize from that. So, and he will not work for dharmam, artham, kamam at that time, if there is abundance of sattva gunam. Now, if you ask the question, these are purushartham, isn't it? Dharmam, artham, kamam is purushartham. And it is required for this world, because you will always say that, you need money in this world to live. And you need to follow these rules according to the Shastram. And it is true, that is all true. And they are only methods to help you to come to liberation. Which one? Dharma, Artham and Kama. They in itself is not the goal. You see, Dharma, Artham, Kama is a way of disciplining life. So that you will get that interest to look for liberation. But dharma, artham, kamam itself is not the goal. That is the point. Krishna is saying that. Dharme artheja kamecha yadaso parinishtigaha gunanam sannigarshoyam shraddha radhi dhanavaha. That verse brings out that point. This particular point. That if you have dharma, artham, kamam as a goal and if you live on that, because their argument is, look, that is also purushartham. How can you give it up? No, you should not think like that. What Krishna is saying there is that all that brings is Shraddha Radhi Dhanam. It will come from that. and nothing more than that. It's not going to take you to liberation, but it will help you if you follow that. Gradually you will come to this Sattvagunam and Sattvagunam will build up from that. But that itself is not the goal. That is the point Krishna is making here. Dharmam is not the goal. Goal is not dharmam. How long one should follow dharmam? Till you realize the knowledge of the self. Till you have the knowledge of the self, you have to worry about the dharmam. Artham, how long one should earn wealth? What is necessary for following the dharmam in this world? Whatever money is required, that much only you have to work for and earn the wealth in this world. Not more than that. Then, whatever that is necessary for living, that's all, that much artham is allowed to earn. Then kamam. Kamam is not a goal itself. Kamam is not a goal. So that in such a way, you enjoy life in this world in such a way that it does not come as an obstacle, as a blockage in your pursuit for liberation. Only to that extent, kamam is allowed. Dharmam, artham, kamam, when we talk about how far they are allowed, only to that extent. That's not the goal. That's the point Krishna is making here. The goal is not dharmam, artham, kamam. How far should one go down in the dharmam route? To the extent what is necessary, that till you have knowledge of the self, once you started realizing that knowledge of the self is important, spiritual life is important, I'm not this body. If this realization is getting stronger, and then dharmam is not an issue anymore to that person. Artham also, what is necessary for maintaining this body, that much wealth you can earn. More than that, it is of no use. That's what Krishna is saying here. Similarly, kamam also, if you have some desires in the body and the mind, in order to fulfill that, certain desires are allowed, like getting married and living in a particular way, so that some amount of kamam is fulfilled in that way. Desires are fulfilled in that way. And that's all it is. So that itself, that problem itself doesn't become an issue in your pursuit of spiritual life. We have, if you remember, this was discussed in the, when was that? In the 11th canto earlier. You will notice this. The same problem came up when it was discussed by the Navayogis. Navayogi's discussion, at the last one, I think Karabhajana says this. Karabhajana or the one, Chamasa, one of them mentions this. He says how long one should, why is it allowed these things, he mentions there.
don't know. I think it is one of them. So I think it is Chamasar Karabajan, one of them says there. He says, look, if you look into the chapter 5, verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. Loke vivayam shamadhya sevam nityastu jandorhina tatra chodanam vivastiri steshu vivahayatyam suragrahairasu nivurtirishtaham. That verse. Loke vivayam shamadhya sevam. In this world, sense gratification, eating meat, drinking alcohol, all these things are there among the living entities. And they are doing that due to their natural vasana inside. They have the vasana for that. Therefore they are doing that. And he says, Teshu vivaha yajna suragrahai vivastidi. Sex life and eating meat, drinking alcohol, these three things, they are controlled by marriage, sacrifice, and drinking in sautramani, which is a yajnam. That means eating meat and drinking alcohol is allowed through yajnam, through sacrifice. So you have to do that before you drink or eat meat in that way. Similarly, sex life is allowed, that bhogam or sense gratification is allowed in marriage, not outside. So, if it is difficult to control, then in that case, let that be in marriage. That is the vidhi, that is the injunctions. If you have to eat meat, find it difficult, then let it be through sacrifice. And if you have to drink, let it be through sautramani. Sautramani is the sacrifice for that. So the goal, asu nivritti ishta, the purpose is that you want to come out of it, somehow or the other. So in a restricted way, it is allowed, with lot of rules attached to it. Rules attached to it. Not for completely absorbed in that, and to become completely affected by that, by the sense gratification. So that's the same thing. Here also, Krishna is saying the same thing, that dharmam is not the goal. As long as there is knowledge of the self, and if you are making progress on the spiritual path, then dharmam is not a big issue anymore. Equally, acquiring wealth is, to that extent, only necessary. Similarly, kamam also, as long as it's not causing a problem in your spiritual path, that much is allowed. That much is allowed from there. So, so, on the other hand, Krishna is saying there that if somebody is all the time busy in dharmam, artham, kamam, such a person will never come out of the three modes. That's another thing. Suppose if you give too much importance to this dharmam, artham, kamam, and he is always busy with dharmam, artham, kamam, then in him, this satvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam will always remain. It will not come out from that. Gunayam sannigarshoyam. It says there that gunanam sannigarshoyam shraddharadi dhanavaha. That seventh verse. Gunayam sannigarshoyam shraddharadi dhanavaha. Shraddha, radi, dhanam. With these three things, purpose is like this. He is in dharmam. He will develop more Shraddha, more Shraddha. And for the sake, through the Kamam, he will have attachment for that. Redi will develop there. And in the Artham, he will develop Dhanam. Artham, Dhanasambhati. Excessive wealth will come out from that. And if it is Kamam, he will get, what do you call it? Indulgence. Too much you will get indulgence in that. That is the problem. Suppose, Shraddha Radhi Dhanam. Suppose somebody has excessive attachment to this dharmam, artham, kamam.
What Krishna is saying is, this will result not in self-realization. Instead, it will result in these three things. Shraddha, Reti, Dhanam. If you have an excessive attachment there, it will become excessive indulgence. And that will develop into work, pravati, and Shraddha will go towards that in working more. Kamam, because of that, his indulgence will increase. Reti, and in the wealth, acquiring wealth excessively, more than what is necessary. So, in this way, in these three things, dharmam, artham, kamam, in these three things, purushartham they are called, if you get absorbed in that, and if you engage all your senses, mind and intelligence, if all the time if you think about them, in fulfilling them, if you are living like that in this world, then the problem will be, Krishna says, that is where me and mine takes birth. Me and mine become strong because of that. Because you have given too much attachment to this dharmam, artham, kamam, and all the time you develop that as your goal, that means sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is always present. And because all the three gunams are always present in you, and they are always influencing you, because of that, this me and mine will become very strong in that person. Why Krishna is pointing out to this is, earlier Krishna spoke about pure sattugunam, pure rajogunam, pure tamogunam, what it does, isn't it? In fact, he has spoken. But pure sattugunam, pure rajogunam, pure tamogunam doesn't exist in anybody. Everybody is in a mixed state. Gunanam asamishranam, the first verse itself is said, Puman yena yatha bhave, tanme purusha vidyedam, ubhadare shamsada. So, mishram is there. In everybody there is mixed gunam, mixed modes of nature. Now, mixed modes of nature is present in everybody, but the tendency for some people will be that I will follow the shastram, dharma artha kama moksham, so I will follow dharmam artham kamam, and I will hold on to that. I won't go another step further, thinking that the purpose of dharmam, artham, kamam is also to get you to that stage of self-realization. Because self-realization is not the goal, but you start holding on to these three things, dharmam, artham, kamam, the result will be, Krishna is saying, in course of time, aham, kam, edaso, parinishtita, gunanam, sarnigarshoyam, shraddharadi, dhanavaha. It is in that state that this me and mine will become stronger in that person. So, and with that ego inside, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and for dharmam and artham, he is working in this world, for him, what he is experiencing is this mixed results of the three modes. Mixed results of the three modes. And the result of that is again taking birth and death. He will not come out of it. Do you see what Krishna's point? That if you remain in that, because people will sometimes argue this, that I'm properly situated, I'm living a proper life in this world, I'm not cheating or lying or doing anything wrong in this world, I earn my living in a proper way. I do everything, I don't indulge in anything, I live a life of controlled and disciplined and in a proper way in this world, based on the shastram, I don't break any law, rules. But I'm not interested in the shastram or self-realization, because as far as I am concerned, I'm living a proper life. What do I need all the shastram for? There are people like that, who argues in that way. Many, many people will argue in this way. So Krishna's answer to them is that because these three modes are present in you, that is why you are interested like this. In this particular way, you are operating in this world because of these three modes present in you. And if you keep on holding on to that, what will happen is, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, will get very strong inside. And you will not come out of the modes at any time, and finally, that this birth and death will continue to exist with you. You won't come out of it. You'll stay in this dharmam, artham, kamam level only. So, practically what will happen to them is that Because they live properly in this world, the chances are they will go back to the higher planet, Surlogam, but they will come back again. So in these three planets, they will be, their life will be controlled. They will not come out of these three planetary systems, Bhulogam, Purlogam, Surlogam, which we discussed yesterday. So instead, suppose that he has followed certain dharma, he has performed certain austerities like Ekadashi or Janmashtami or Shivaratri or whatever he has done, or he has gone on pilgrimage, things like that. And he has done something all with the intention of his own benefit. His own benefit. So one person is following Ekadashi. Another person asked him, "What for you are following Ekadashi?" He says, I'm following this Ekadashi because I want to have some advancement in the spiritual life. I want to realize the self. For that purpose, I'm following Ekadashi." He says like that. "And I don't want to take another birth again. For that purpose, I'm following Ekadashi. And in that way, I want to get out of this cycle of birth and death. By Krishna's grace, all the impurities in my mind should go away, and through Manashuddhi or purification of my mind, I am able to understand the knowledge of the self will happen to me, Chittashuddhi will come, Manashuddhi will happen, and I will understand the Tattvam or Tattvanubhuti, it is called Tattvanubhuti, and that is why I am doing this," he says. So, so by following Ekadashi and all other things, he is saying that only goal is for this purpose that Krishna will give me that realization at some point in time. And he is following in that way. He is following the Ekadashi and other things. Another person is saying, "I must follow Ekadashi because Shastram says like that. If I follow Ekadashi, Janmashtami and all properly, then the benefit is that Krishna says that I will be given sufficient wealth in this world. Everything will be provided and my life will be comfortable." But you can see two people are following Ekadashi in two different modes. One person is following it with knowledge and with desire for escaping from here. Another person is following same Ekadashi with another mode, thinking that by following Ekadashi, Krishna will give him all the happiness in this world, wealth in this world, or his comforts in this world. He is thinking that my family life should be okay, children should come, live nicely, my own health should be good, and overall the family life should be happy, and also extended family all should be happy in that way. That means the desire for escaping from here has not happened to him. He is stuck here. So, same Ekadashi, two people are following in two different ways. So, what is the reason for this to happen? Why did this happen in two people in two different ways? Due to the difference in the modes. In one person, in two people, two gunams are predominating. In the first person, who wants to have self-realization, freedom and escape from here, is following Ekadashi so that he wants to make sure that Krishna is pleased with his austerity and penances and his sadhana. He wants to please Krishna so that somehow Krishna gives him the freedom not to come back here again for that purpose, to have the knowledge of the self and to go away from here. Another person is following Ekadashi thinking that I should follow Ekadashi, Janmashtami, everything only for one reason, that I should be happy in this world, I shouldn't have any serious problems, good health, sufficient wealth, good family life, children, family, everybody is properly situated, and social life, reasonably happy, overall in a comfortable life here. Why this difference comes? Because of the two gunams in them. In the first person, there is the intensity of satugunam. Satugunam is more, therefore he is thinking like that. In the second person, there is more rajogunam. Therefore, he is thinking this way, of comforts in this world and satisfaction and happiness and all other things of this world. So so From this you can understand, from these words, Krishna's words, in one person Satugunam is predominating and in another person Rajogunam is predominating, isn't it? So, which sadhana you are doing is not the important thing, but what is the thoughts behind that? That is what's more important. Some people are chanting 16 rounds. This business development business. They say, they are telling all the businessmen, if you chant, you will get a good control on your mind while making decisions. Now, that's also propagated, isn't it? People are told, businessmen are told they should chant so they can control their mind. And it's propagated in a big way in many, many places. In India it is going on in a big way. Because they realized, many of these people who are going to them and telling them, they won't give up their business work. They are doing all kinds of nonsense business in this world. Yeah, giving a lot of trouble to a lot of people in this world. That kind of business they are busy with. And we're going and telling them, if you chant, all those things will come out nicely. Whatever you are doing. So they are attractive because of that. Those people don't have any interest in spiritual life. They want to escape from here after leaving the body, don't want to come back. Those thoughts never get in. They are always busy. So from this you can understand that only when the sattvagunam builds up in a person, he will have attachment to escape from here. He will have that goal, it will become his goal, liberation. Only when the sattvagunam builds up in a person, liberation will become his goal. Otherwise it won't. That is the important principle Krishna is talking about here. Till that sattvagunam builds up, it may be some different goal. So lot of people do lot of things. They are in spiritual life. But they'll come to the temple, they will engage in all sorts of... Not with this understanding that all this is for ultimately what? To come out of this material existence, isn't it? Cycle of birth and death. That's not happening. So that's why business development and all that, one has to be a little bit careful about it. Not to say those things to anybody. If you are saying that to people, basically you are misleading them. You are misleading them. Instead, it's better to leave them to do what they want and suffer through it and then come to their senses. Rather than misguiding them, using Shastram for a wrong purpose. Shastram is only for to tell us that this body is a misery, all the problems associated with this world. And only when you come to accept that and you take to spiritual life, it will have its benefit, proper benefit from that. So, and sattvagunam, when it builds up inside a person, ultimately he will have a sufficient interest in liberation. And apart from that, he will not be influenced or infected by the rajogunam or tamogunam. Rajogunam or tamogunam. Then, dharmanishta, how sannivadam comes. That's the next verse. Pravarti lakshane nishta, pumanyarhi grihashrame, sodharme chanudishtega, gunanam samadirhisa. Pravarti lakshane nishta, pumanyarhi grihashrame, sodharme chanudishtega, gunanam samadirhisa. Pravarti, nivarti, two things, which we have spoken many times before. Pravarti, nivarti means, Pravarti, say, in two ways it's spoken. For example, material life, laugiyam, it is called material life. And in that Pravarti, we want happiness. In this life, material life, we want happiness. For my own happiness, children's happiness, family's happiness, opulence, everything. And I'm working for that, but I'm not doing anything against the law. Adharma. I'm not doing everything based on dharma. And everything what I'm doing is good things. But I'm thinking in my mind that if I don't earn enough wealth and give all that to my children, what will happen to them tomorrow? How will they live in this world? Or And I start thinking that I have to be comfortable, and I also want to make sure that they are also comfortable later. If this and in this way, I'm injecting this auspiciousness to me, my life here, and to their life as well in this. And that way I'm situated in the pravritti all the time, engaged in karma, and situated as a householder. So, here he's saying, Sadharme chani nishteda gunanam samadirhisa. Such a person. Pravritti lakshane nishte nishta puman yarhi grihashrame. Sadharme chani nishteda gunanam samadirhisa. And he is doing his swadharmam properly. That means he's thinking, I am a householder, I have to do my grihastha dharmam properly. So I have to earn money properly, supporting the family, maintaining the family, and also always focused on the family's welfare, family's comfort, family security. And you are not doing anything bad either in this world, no wrong things. Even then, there is no sattvagunam in that person. The sattva sambhati is not there in that person. Because only for this reason, his goal is not moksha. Liberation is not his goal, therefore. So, his goal is also centered around this world and also experiences of this world. And that is not indicating sattvagunam, it is indicating rajogunam and tamogunam. Sometimes certain things when Krishna says, we may not like it, but there's nothing we can do. Some things he will say like this, especially to the householder. We are the ones who are to be more careful than the sannyasi and brahmachari. Sannyasi and brahmachari is a different situation because they are not supposed to be, they have other problems, not that they don't have problems, but their problems are different. Householder's problem is a completely different kind of problem. That you will see in Krishna's householder life also, when you look through it, a lot of things, Krishna is trying to teach us many, many things. Not that Krishna had all the problems, because avadaram is for that purpose. Why did Krishna come here? To kill Kamsa? No. Kamsa he can kill if you're sitting there. Just to pull him out, pull out from inside, he's finished, Kamsa is over. But when he comes here to show to us that even as a householder life, what all we have to be careful about. Those things are always in instructions, you will find that. And some places we have seen before also how this householder life drags us down in many, many ways, different ways. If you remember, earlier in one instance, Krishna said, that I think it was in the 18th, 19th, one of those. Yeah, sorry, 17th, last verses. You see there? Grihastha's problem. Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. Grihastha's problem. What does he say? He says, Yastu, the last three verses, 56, 57 and 58. Yastu asakta madirgehe putra vitte eshana turyaha strainam kribanam kribanadhir mudham mamaham idibadhyade. A person who gets attached to these things, he may be following dharmam. That's okay. He follows dharmam. He lives in the family life. Yes, to asakta madirgehe. Unnecessarily, he is getting attached to it excessively. Then what will happen? Putra vitte eshanaturyaham. Eshanatrayam. That means putreshana, dareshana. Then to support that, viteshana. And to support that, logeshana. This is how one Eshanatrayam works. Eshanatrayam means this three, how do you put it? The three things that hold us in householder life. Putreshana and Dareshana. That means attachment to wife and children. This is for a man. For a woman, attachment to the husband and the children. Similarly, Viteshana. When we have Putreshana and Dareshana, you will need a lot of money. Then you start feeling that I have to make a lot of money for them. And that is called Viteshana. When you have both of these two things, it will be followed by Logeshana. That means these two things supplements that. Logeshana, popularity in the society, recognition in the society. You will see all this in the householder, these kind of problems. That they want recognition in the world, recognition in the society, me, my family should be recognized, social circle, all these things comes from that. So Krishna says, if that happens, strainaha kribana dirmutho mamaham iti badhyade. With that he becomes so attached that he very miser he becomes. Karpanyam kribana dirmutha, he becomes very ignorant. Tamoguna will take over and he will be completely absorbed in that life, in his own happiness. His happiness is that which one having a comfortable family and comfortable social life, recognition in the society and things like that. And then after saying that, Krishna says to Uddhava how it works. Krishna is acting it and showing it to Uddhava. Aho me pitarau vriddha vriddhau bharya balalpajalpajaha anatha mamrde dina katham jivandi dukhidaha. How sad, Krishna says. My old parents and my small children and my wife, and where will they go in my absence? What will happen to them? He's lamenting. Lamentation itself is tamogunam. But to lament like this is worse. A householder's problem this is. Aho me pitarau vriddhau bharya balalpajalpajaha anatha mamrde dina katham jivandi dukhidaha. And then he keeps on lamenting and lamenting about it whole life. What will happen to my old parents? Who will look after them? What will happen to my wife and children? Children are very small. Who will bring them up? How will they live in this world? And if in my absence, what will be their situation? This worry inside. Evam grihashaya kshipta hridayo mudadhirayam adruptasta anudhyayam mrudo andham vishade tamaha. He says that evam grihashaya kshipta hridayo mudadhirayam. Due to this vasana that has built up in the family and home, which has completely taken away all his knowledge and has become totally ignorant, he is completely absorbed in thinking about all the happiness that he can derive from that family life. The result of that is he will have to accept the next birth in a very, very lower species. He says there, mrudo andham vishade tamaha. His next life will be in tamogunam. Tamogunam means lower species. So there he has warned this. He spoke to Uddhava this in the 17th chapter. And the same thing Krishna is saying again to us, to householder. Pravritti lakshane nishta puman yarhi grihashrami sodharme chana nishtena gunanam samadarhisa. In another way Krishna is putting it towards us. So even now Krishna is saying that he is a householder. Pravritti lakshanam. He is engaged in pravritti. And Puman Yarhi Grihashrame, he is a grahastha, And he is Sadharme Chani Nishtheda. He is executing his grahastha ashrama dharma properly. He is doing all that. Gunanam Samadirhisa. But that is not showing that he is situated in Sattugunam. That is there is not enough Sattugunam in him. Everything he is doing is okay. But because Sattugunam is not there, therefore what will happen to him is, he will get absorbed in that family to that extent in the family life that will pull him down. And finally, he will leave this world thinking about them and he will come back here in a lower species. That warning is there in the Bhagavatam. Then, next verse, if you look, you'll see. Purusham satta samyuktam Anumeya chama divi, kama divi rejo yuktam, krodha de tamasa yudam. So, but if that person, instead, he is worshipping Krishna, he is serving Krishna, but at the same time, what's happening to him? These qualities, which one? Shamam, dhamam, titiksha. What was spoken in the second verse. Those qualities are building up in him. It is building up in him. And if you, with those qualities, he is engaged in life for pleasing Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, he wants to live. He goes to temples, he is engaged in pilgrimage, he is studying Bhagavatam, he is engaging in Salsangam, he is chanting the holy name, he is doing deity worship. Every time, whatever that is possible, wherever there is an opportunity, he takes advantage of all that to understand and to keep that state all the time inside of awareness of Krishna consciousness inside, in other words. So, and similarly, he particularly about chanting the holy name as a sadhana, he does that every day, follows Ekadashi, Janmashtami, all the festivals properly, and absorb as much time as possible in the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads and all that. So, if and he is serving Krishna in that way, and you ask him what purpose, he says, his answer is, somehow or the other I have to please Krishna so that I don't have to take birth again. His answer comes like that. If it comes like that, that means that in him Satugunam is working. He is controlled by Satugunam. That's what it is indicating. That when, so you can see similar sadhana others are also doing. Lot of people in this doing world is doing that, sadhana is doing. But if you ask them what's the goal will be that they want to be happy in this world. But here, this first person, Purusham Sattva Samyuktam, Anumiya Shamadivi, Anumiya Shamadivi. Shamam Dhamam, in that person you will see these qualities building up. Shamam Dhamam Tidiksha, Ubaradi Shraddha, Samadhanam, all these qualities what Krishna has spoken in that second verse, that starts coming up in him. If that is happening, you can say there that in he is doing that in Sattugunam. He is doing this in Sattugunam. Now, another person is doing exactly the same thing what this person is doing, who is doing in the Sattugunam. But if you ask him, he says, I'm doing all these things because I want a lot of money in this world. A lot of money in this world. And at the same time, Shamam and Damam, I'm not too bothered, those things. He said, if it comes, I'll take it. But that's not the goal. Aishwaryam is the goal. Goal is money. For that, Krishna has to help. That means, inside him, there is ragadvesham, not shamam dhamam. Ragadvesham inside. Therefore, such a person, Krishna is saying, is doing, you can take it that his spiritual life is dominated by rajogunam. Dominated by rajogunam. And another third person, he is also doing the same things. He is chanting, he is reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and he is also sometimes does deity worship, and sometimes he follows Ekadashi also. And if you ask him, why are you doing all these things? He says that's what Krishna is answering there. In that person, you don't see any of those qualities, what was spoken in the verse 2 or 3. Instead, verse 4 is influencing him all the time. He gets angry very quickly. He's engaged in spiritual life, but he gets angry. And he gets also, at the same time, all kinds of lobham, greed, anuradham, lying, himsa, violence towards others, and begging nature, yajana, dambham, klamam, kali, shogam, moham, ushadam, arti, nidra, anudyamam. All those qualities, what you say, they are not going away. That is still there in him. So, one who is doing that, you can say there, that his spiritual life is dominated by tamogunam. Dominated by tamogunam. So, just like you can see in the tamogunam state, that anger, how it manifests very easily in a person. Very small things, they'll get upset. Simple things, silly things, they'll get upset and get angry about it. Suppose by mistake you touched him. He says, I told you not to touch me. Why did you touch me? That's enough to spark off something. Something like that. Little things is enough
to get, make that person angry, krotham inside. And then he'll say, after the ear touch, you'll get angry. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Have you seen people like that? They'll get angry. After the anger is over, they'll say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. They'll chant. So that is the tamoguna. There are so many people like that all over the world. You will, if you observe them, in temples particularly you will see them more. In temple, because when you go to the temple, you have some idea in your head what you want to talk to Krishna. You're going there, isn't it? In the middle, somebody put a block saying that you can't go this way, go that way. This is blocked now. This is only for the VIPs. That's all for people like you who come through the other queue. You get so upset at that time. There is an argument there. Or somebody serving prasadam. Sweet rice has run out. He says, why there is no sweet rice? You gave to everybody else. Why are you not giving me? Got upset. So one who is serving there, he gets it. Everything. So he gets all that. And then somebody says to you, oh, why you devotees are getting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He chants that. This is all tamogunam inside. When tamogunam is present in him, his spiritual life will be like this. On one hand, he will be doing everything what Saptaguni is doing, he is also doing. But the only difference is, he is not practicing spiritual for self-realization or going back to the spiritual world. Right now here, he wants everything according to his plan. It should work. Only then he is okay with spiritual life. And he will do everything what you tell him to do in spiritual life also. He'll do it. But his goal is, everything should be perfect here, now. The way it should happen, the way he wants it. If it's not happening, that is the absence of proper Krishna consciousness there. That we have to be careful about. That if this, you see, the modes of nature, we don't have any freedom on these things. Whatever Prakriti has thrown at us, we have to accept it. What freedom have we got? It's there in the body, it's there in the mind, it's there in the intelligence, and there is the ego beyond all these things. Everywhere these modes of nature is present. And Krishna has already spoken how they are present in everywhere, body, mind, intelligence and ego. With so much control over us, we have to execute spiritual life. So Krishna is giving us some clue that when you are executing spiritual life, if you take notice of these things, if shamam, damam, tiriksha, all those things, tapasya, satyam, daya, smriti, tushti, tyagam, spriha, shraddha, daya, hri, nirvriti, all this is happening, then your spiritual life is okay. It is doing good. But if it happens, kama iha madam trishna stambam ashir vidha sukham madam ulsaham yashasya prayati hasyam viriyam belam udyamam, that spiritual life is not satugunam, it is rajogunam. And worse than that is the third one. That, and Krishna put all those things in one verse, in that ninth verse. Purusham sattva samyukta anumiya chamadibi kamadibi rajo yuktam krodhadde tamasa yutam. Krodhadde tamasa yutam. So, he says, Krishna says, that if a person is in sattvagunam and rajogunam and tamogunam, even though they may all be worshipping me, worshipping Krishna, in a similar way, because of their gunam, the results also will be different. If a person is worshipping in sattvagunam, the result will be, you will get elevated, escape from here. If a person is worshipping in rajogunam, the result will be, he may get his wealth, what he wants, and the happiness in this world, but he won't get the final goal. Similarly, a person in tamogunam, if he is worshipping me, the sadhana is the same. All the three people are doing exactly the same thing. They are all chanting, they are all reading Srimad Bhagavatam, they are all going on pilgrimage, they are all getting engaged in temple worship. Everything same. But end result for all the three will be different due to the presence, because the three gunams are dominating their sadhana. Sattugunam dominates the second verse. Qualities will build up in that person and he will escape from here. Rajogunam dominates verse number three. All those qualities will build up in him and he will He will have his happiness in this world, that's all. Nothing more than that. He may get that. But and if tamogunam dominates his spiritual life, then he will get all the things what he wants, but in that process he will not get any further than that. That will be his state where he is. So so the person, the problem here is that the person in tamogunam, I mentioned how it works, isn't it? Person in tamogunam, he will get affected easily. Little things will spark off the whole thing. Rajogunam, he will have a lot of desires and he wants to fulfill them. And all the time, his actions and his mind working, even in spiritual life, will be centered around this. Wealth, opulence, comforts, and name and fame, and all such things which is associated with Rajogunam. And he wants that, and for that purpose, he will make any sacrifice in life. And he will do a lot of things because he is very active, that person. So that means he will chant a lot. He will chant a lot, 64 or 128 or 164, whatever you tell him, he will do it. But the goal is different. And similarly, if you tell him to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, he will wake up every morning at 2 o'clock. And he will chant for 8 or 10 hours. If you tell him to chant, he will chant. But the goal is different again. And similarly, Krishna is saying there, if the tamogunam is prominent in the person, his nature, krotham, lobham, anudham, all those things. So, that far, I think we can stop there today, and then we'll have a little kirtan, and we'll have prasadam after that.